जयं श्रुपाद परमहंस परिभाजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशत श्री श्रीमान अभय चरणारविंद भक्तिवेदांत गोस्वामी महाराज शील प्रभुपाद की जयं नित्यलीला प्रविष्ट विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिभ्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशत श्री श्रीमान भक्त सिद्धांत सरस्वती महाराज शील प्रभुपाद की आनंदगुड़ वैष्णव बृंद की नामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम सहो श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त बृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोविनाथ श्यामकुंड राधाकुंड गिरी गोवर्धन की वृंदावन धाम की मायापुर धाम की मधुरपुरी धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की द्वारकापुरी धाम की गंगमाई की यमुना माई की तुलसी देवी की भक्ति देवी की सामवेद भक्त बृंद की गौ प्रेम All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. All glories to Shri Prabhupada. Namah Shripadaya Krishna Prasthaya Buddhare Shri Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine. Namaste Sarasvadevam Gauravani Prajarine. Narvishe Shunyavadi Pashyatya Deshadharine. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
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 ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदाम्बिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं हरिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपदान् सहगणललितां श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च ॐ विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रसाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवीं गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादी पाश्चात्यादेशधारिणे नमः ॐ विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रसाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त सरस्वती इति नामिने श्रीवैष्णवी देवी दैताया कृपाब्धये कृष्णसम्बन्धविज्ञानं दायिने प्रभवे नमः माधुर्योज्ज्वलप्रेमाग्न्य श्रीरूपानुगभक्तिदा श्रीगौरकरुणाशक्ति विग्रहाय नमोऽस्तुते नमस्ते गौरवाणि श्रीमूर्तये दीनधारिणे रूपानुगविरुद्धापसिद्धान्तद्वन्द्वहारिणे नमो गौरकिशोराय साक्षात् वैराग्यमूर्तये विप्रलम्बरसाम्बोधे पदाम्बुजाय ते नमः नमो भक्तिविनोदाय सच्चिदानन्दनामिने गौरशक्तिस्वरूपाय रूपनुगौराय ते गौराविर्भवभूमे स्वं निर्दिष्टा सज्जनप्रियाः वैष्णवः सर्वभौम श्रीजगन्नाथाय ते नमः वंशकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः नमो महावदान्याय कृष्णप्रेमप्रदाय ते कृष्णाय कृष्णचैतन्यनाम्ने गौरत्विषे नमः पञ्चतत्त्वात्मकं कृष्णं भक्तरूपस्वरूपकं भक्तावतारं भक्ताख्यं नमामि भक्तशास्त्रियम् हे कृष्णकरुणा सिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगल्पदे गोपेश गोपिकाकान्द राधाकान्द नमोऽस्तुते जयदां सुरदौ भङ्गोर्ममन्दमदीर्घदि मत्सर्वस्वपदाम्भोजौ राधामदनमोहनौ
ದಿವ್ಯ ಬೃಂದಾರಣ್ಯ ಕಲ್ಪದ್ರುಮಾದೌ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ರತ್ನಾಕರ ಸಿಂಹಾಸನಸ್ಥೌ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ರಾಧಾ ಶ್ರೀಲ ಗೋವಿಂದ ದೇವೌ ಪ್ರೇಷ್ಠಾಳಿಭಿ ಸೇವ್ಯಮಾನೌ ಸ್ಮರಾಮಿ ಶ್ರೀಮಂದ್ರಾಸರ ಸಾರಂಭಿ ವಂಶೀವಟತಟ ಸ್ಥಿತ ಕರ್ಷಾನ್ವೇಣುಸ್ವನೇರ್ಗೋಪೀರ್ ಗೋಪಿನಾಥಾಶ್ರಯೇಸ್ತು ನ ತಪ್ತಕಾಂಚನ ಗೌರಾಂಗಿ ರಾಧೇ ವೃಂದಾವನೇಶ್ವರಿ ವೃಷಭಾನುಸುತೇ ದೇವಿ ಪ್ರಣಮಾಮಿ ಹರಿಪ್ರಿಯೇ ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭೋ ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧಾರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸಾದಿ ಗೌರ ಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಹರೇ
ಹರೇ ರಾಮ ರಾಮ ರಾಮ
ಹರೇ 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 ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ
ಹರೇ ರಾಮ
ರಾಮ ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ಹರೇ
ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ
ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಹರೇ
ಹರೇ
ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ this chapter, 11th chapter in the Bhagavad Gita, universal form, as I said before, there are three important things. One, Krishna is talking about the the knowledge of the Maya, understanding Maya, how Maya works, and through that the universal form is expressed. Secondly, there is a limited discussion on the Yoga Mandalam. Yoga Mandalam means the yogic phase of the Ashtanga Yoga process also into this chapter. Added to that, there is a lot of description of the Arjuna's experiences, what we have spoken last Sunday. So, in the 10th chapter, Arjuna has already understood who Krishna is, because after hearing about the opulences of the Absolute, different opulences, isn't it, of the Absolute. Now, opulences means different vibhuti. That is a word uses in the Shastra, vibhuti. Vibhuti means Krishna's different opulences. And in that chapter, Krishna also mentioned that the greatest opulence of all Krishna's opulences, his presence in everyone. That is the greatest opulence, that he is present in everybody. That is the greatest opulence of all, not the other opulences. There's so many opulences mentioned there. The greatest of all the opulences is Krishna is present within everyone as the super soul. You see, super soul present inside. So, so here, after this 10th chapter, most of the tattvam Krishna has spoken to Arjuna, what he wanted to say to Arjuna. But then again in the 11th chapter, Krishna says there, when Arjuna mentioned that Madanugrahaya Paramam Guhyam Adhyalpa Sapnidam Yatvayoktam Vajasthena Mohoyam Vigado Mama. My moham has gone. My illusion has gone, Arjuna says at that point. So it was then that once again to establish that Arjuna in that state, that to make him realize that Krishna, who is Krishna, Krishna decided to show this universal form. So Arjuna understands, by hearing up to the 10th chapter, he understands that everything is soul, everything is spirit, and everything is Brahma. That realization he already has by now. But Arjuna has not reached that state yet, that through proper understanding, he has heard from Krishna and he has accepted it. But he hasn't gone through that analysis in himself on his own and come to that conclusion yet, isn't it? Till now, what he has heard is from Krishna. What Krishna has spoken, he has accepted that, and he has started accepting Krishna as just not his friend alone, but he has the absolute truth. That acceptance is coming to Arjuna. But still at the same time, Arjuna hasn't yet gone through that experience himself, which is different. Accepting something and experiencing himself is little different, isn't it? So the acceptance is there because based on, just like we also accept from the Shastram that Krishna is saying that so many things, we can accept that. But experiencing that is something different, isn't it? When you practically experience it, then there is no more, you are firmly established in that then. This is the difference. This is the main difference. Accepting something in your mind or through your intelligence is one level. But experiencing something and never again to fall from that is another state, is it not? That is called realization, isn't it? Realization. So here, Arjuna accepts that consciousness is important, pure consciousness. So once again, to firmly establish Arjuna in that, we can see, for example, suppose you read Bhagavad Gita thoroughly well and you have understood a lot of things. But you have understood a lot of things, you accepted also a lot of things, but some things can happen in life and the whole thing can be completely uprooted. The whole understanding can go. Is it not? It can happen. That is how the way mind and intelligence works. So, in order to overcome that barrier of the mind and intelligence, experience is necessary. Experience is necessary. Only then, once you have experienced it, then you won't be able to move away from that. Even if something happens in life, your approach in that situation will be different. Will be different. So, just like when a lot of problems comes in life, a stage comes when suddenly you realize you can't do anything about it. A situation can happen in life like that, is it not? Something, so many things you did, everything, you tried very hard to sort out everything, but it's not working. Everything has failed at the end and you feel totally helpless. It is then that you will become a little bit more inward looking. Your attention will go inside to think, what's this all about? That why all these things are happening like this? So up to that time, you won't give any credit to Krishna. You will think everything in terms of your own. It's in the false ego is operating all this time. The false ego is making decisions. False ego is trying to find a solution to the problem, everything. But one at some point, that false ego surrenders and says that, I can't do anything about it. It is completely in Krishna's hands. That situation can happen in life. So, it is only then you will accept that Krishna is doing everything. Although Shastram is telling us, Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha ahankara vimudhatma karta hamidi manyade. It's all there in the Bhagavad Gita. But in practical life, it doesn't happen. We are still thinking we are the controllers and we are the doers and we are in charge of the situation, everything. It doesn't happen. So, what is Krishna is showing to Arjuna now in his face is that when Krishna wanted to show this to Arjuna and to make him realize that everything is happening within me, within Krishna, in other words. So, even all this energy, what we are operating within, which is called the energy of Maya, Maya's power, and even that is Krishna's hand. Krishna's energy, that is. So, make Arjuna understand, Krishna uses the word there, Aishwaram Rubam. If you look that, at Aishwaram, Aishwaram generally word, opulence is. Rubam Aishwaram, Krishna says there, isn't it? Sanjay Vajam, that is verse 9, if you look, Sanjaya is saying to Dhritarashtra, Evam Uktva Tato Rajan, Maha Yogeshwaro Hari, the Supreme Absolute Personality, Supreme Personality Krishna. That's verse 9. Sanjaya saying to Dhritarashtra, after saying all these things, Eva Muktva Tado Rajan, Maha Yogeshwaro Hari, Darshayamasa Parthaya, Paramam Rupam Aishwaram. That Aishwaram is that thing. This is that thing, Aisha. That's a very important word there, because in the verse before that, if you look in the 8th verse, Krishna, Arjuna says to Krishna, if I can't see that form, if I don't have the strength to withstand that form, universal form, natomam shakyase drashtam mane aneneiva sachakshusha, if with my own eyes I can't see that, I can't manage it, I can't face that universal form, divyam dadami de chakshu. Krishna says, divyam dadami de chakshu, that I'll give you that special eye or divine vision. Pashyame yogam aishwaryam. There also you can see that yogam aishwaryam. So that aishwaryam is that word Krishna is saying here, that that everything that's happening in the creation is Krishna's energy. It is Krishna's energy. And that is why that aishwaryam is word used there. Aishwaryam is just not opulence alone. Aishwaryam is that everything in the creation is Krishna's energy that is working. Krishna's energy that is working. So here, Arjuna said, Krishna says to Arjuna, divyam dadami de jakshu pashyame yogam aishwaryam. I'll give you that eyes to see my opulences, aishwaryam. Divyam dadami de jakshu aishwaryam yogam aishwaryam. That aishwaryam refers to here, that adyam chakshu tena pashyame yogam aishwaryam. Ishwarasya mama aishwaryam yogam yoga shakti adishayam iti arthaha. That means this aishwaryam here is yoga shakti, Krishna's yoga shakti adishayam ityartasha, the amazing power of Krishna's yoga shakti, the power of yogi power of Krishna. You can see that now. What is Krishna's yogi power? Maya shakti is one of Krishna's yogi power, isn't it? Maya shakti is one of Krishna's yogi power. It's another yogi power, that is this maya shakti. Otherwise, how all living entities are completely enamored by this maya and completely controlled by that maya, which Krishna says also, isn't it? Devi Hesha Gunamayi. This Gunamayi, three modes of material nature, Sattvam, Rajasa, Tamasa. Devi Hesha Mama Maya Duratyaya. My maya is very difficult to overcome. So that maya, Shakti, Aishwaryam, that is our Aishwaryam here. That Krishna says, I'll give you that power to see that maya, to see that maya Shakti. And that is what Sanjaya is saying to Dhritarashtra now, that Mahayogeshwaro Hari, that great personality, supreme personality, Krishna, Darshayamasa Parthaya, to show it to Arjuna, Partha, Arjuna, Darshayamasa, to show it to him, Paramam Rubam Aishwaryam, that supreme energy of Maya, supreme energy, Maya. So, Krishna, Arjuna wanted to see that Maya, and Krishna says, now here you can see it, and he says to him that way. So, here, this is very interesting. Because if you look at this, when Krishna says like that, he says to Arjuna, whatever you want to see, you can see there. Whatever you want to see, you can see here. But what would Arjuna like to see? This is also another question, isn't it? Whatever in Arjuna's inside, in the form of vasana. You know this word vasana. It's an important word. Vasana means the impressions what Arjuna is carrying about this world. Each one of us have our own impression about this world, isn't it? We all think about this world in a different ways, according to our vasanas inside. So whatever vasana Arjuna had, he is going to project that onto Krishna. He is going to project that on Krishna. And that is what he is seeing in the universal form. That is why universal form is different for different people. So, the universal form which you or me, if we do see, will be different. Each one of us will see the universal form different according to our vasanas inside. Because everything is Maya at the end. My vision, your vision, Arjuna's vision, everything is Maya. So it is not one form what Krishna wants to show. According to Arjuna's vasana inside, Arjuna's vasanas inside, he is going to project those vasanas into Krishna's universal form, and he will see that universal form at that particular time. That is the interesting thing here. Paramam Rupam Aishwaryam. So that is here, it mentions here that when Arjuna sees in that way, what will happen is, whomever Arjuna is thinking about, whomever Arjuna considers important, they will all come in that universal form. That's why in that universal form which Arjuna saw, it was completely the Mahabharata battlefield. That is what was present there in that. It is because of this. Arjuna didn't see anything else. Arjuna only was seeing all those things, kings who were present there, the great warriors who were present there, his teachers, his relations, his friends, and his army, Duryodhana's army. It is they whom Arjuna saw in the universal form. In the universe. Because his own vasanas are coming out. That's what Arjuna is thinking about, based on his vasana inside. That's all he is thinking about, and that's what he saw in the universal form. That is very important thing there. So that is why we read there that 15 to 21 the verses. We read that, I think we read through that, and you saw there that Aneka Bahudara Vakra Netram, that is the 16th verse. Pashyami Devamstava Deva Dehe. Arjuna is seeing here that that's why from verse 15 onwards it's Arjuna is seeing that universal form, and he's saying what he's seeing there, isn't it? And if you read those verses from 15 to say 21 onwards, you will see that I'm seeing all these things. And if you look at some of the things what he says here, Pashyami Ubhalebe He Deva Tava Dehe Sarvan Tatha Bhuta Vishesha Sankhan. Bhuta Vishesha Sankhan, all kinds of living entities I'm seeing. Bhuta Visheshanam, Bhuta Vishesha means Stavara Jangamanam, moving and non-moving. Nana Samstana Visheshanam Sangha Vishesha Bhuta Sangha. Then he's also seeing here Brahmanam Chaturmukham, the four-headed form of Brahma he's seeing there. Four-headed form of Brahma. How? Kamalasanastam, he says, sitting on the lotus flower. Sitting on the lotus flower. He is seeing that form of Brahma. Sitting in the lotus flower. Now, when you read this, you shouldn't think is Brahma is always sitting inside a lotus flower. This is because Arjuna has understood about, heard about Brahma like that, that so he is seeing in that way. Brahma's nice cushion sofa sets, everything there in his abode. He's got everything. It's not always he's sitting on the lotus flower. So in the Shastra, when you read that, you should not take it like as though it's that's his place. That's where he sits all the time. No, he sits there. Brahmasanastam, Kamalasanastam, Krishinja Sarvan, Uragamscha Divyan. He also saw all the great sages present there, because that's all in Arjuna's mind. All the great, great personalities. Arjuna is also studied Shastram. So he knows these things, that great, great souls do exist, great personalities, great sages. In Arjuna's estimation, they are great personalities. So he's seeing them all the great sages, Atri, Angiras, they are all there with him. And what else he says? Chaturmukham, Isham, Ishidaram, Prajanam, Kamalasanastam. Then, Prithivi, Palpa Madhye, Meru Karaniyasanastam, Ityartaha. So, Prithivi Palpa Madhye Meru Karniyasanastam. Meru mountain he is saying, and it is on the top of that is this lotus flower where Brahma is present. Then, Ityarthaha, Hrishi, sages, Vasishtha Adin, Vasishtha Maharshi and others, so many great sages, Sarvan Uragan, all big, big snakes and serpents, Vasugi Prabhudin Divyan Divi Bhavan. Vasugi is one of the famous snakes. So, Lord Shiva wears Vasuki on his neck. Vasuki was used for churning the ocean of milk. So that Vasuki also he saw in this universal form. Then, Anege Bahavudarani Vaktrani Netranija Yasya Tava Satvam Anega Bahudara Vaktra Netram Tam Anega Bahudara Vaktra Netram Pashyamitvam Sarvadaha. Many, many hands, many, many eyes. He's seeing there. And Sarvatra Anandarupam, Anandani Rupani Asedi Anandarupatam Anandarupam. Anandarupam means unlimited forms there. Unlimited forms with so many eyes, so many hands, so many legs, like that. Pashyami na madhyam pashyami na puna adim pashyami he Vishweshara he Vishwarupa. Arjuna is saying, I can't see the beginning of this, and I can't see the end of it either.
Na adhyam tava devasya na pashyami andam na madhyam.
I can't see the beginning, the middle and the end of it, he says. So it's an experience Arjuna is having now. It's an experience Arjuna is having of the universal form. He is saying that I can't see the beginning of this, where it's beginning from. I can't see the middle of it, nor can I see where it ends. Then he also said that kiridinam, kiridam nama shirobhushana visheshata tadasya asti sa kiridam kiridinam. Then there's a long description there, and it says here that looking at you, I'm completely, you are burning like thousands and millions of sun. Millions of sun, that kind of effulgence is coming from. Pashyami tvam durnirikshan samandha. I can't even look at you. Why? Deeptanal arkadyudim aprameyam. Aprameyam means you cannot measure it. Deeptam. So powerful is effulgence of thousands, millions of suns together. That kind of effulgence is coming from that form. Deeptanal arkadyudim aprameyam. Ita evade yogita shakti darshanan animinomi. All this is happening because of Krishna's yoga shakti, yogic power. Krishna is exhibiting that yogic power he has put through to Arjuna. Because Krishna is Yogeshwareshwara, isn't it? He's the controller of all yoga, yoga siddhis, Ashta siddhi, Aishwarya siddhis, everything is in Krishna's control. Perfection, 100%. And he is addressed everywhere, you will see Yogeshwareshwara. All yogis meditating on Krishna. And all the yogic powers comes from Krishna. And he is the controller of all the yogic powers. And who is able to give that yogic power to others. Yogic power to others. Then he says, Tomaksharam paramam veditavyam. Tomasya vishwasya param nidhanam. Verse 18. Tomavyaya shashvada dharma gopta sanatanastam purushomato me. He says here that when he saw these different forms, Brahma, sages, different snakes, and everywhere Krishna's hands and legs, and no beginning, middle or end. And Krishna also says here that there was this big crown Krishna was wearing, and club in the hand, conch shell and the disc, and deeptanalarka judim aprameyam, he says. Aprameyam. I can't explain that, Arjuna says, that effulgent form of universal form, he says. So, all this state, now this is important, all these experiences is before self-realization. This is important. Before self-realization, the experience of Maya is like this. Experience of Maya is like this. That is the potency of Maya. The same thing, a realized soul won't see it in that way. You see, it is before, prior to realizing the self, prior to realizing who you are, if you see that form, you will experience it this way. You will experience it this way. Because in the realized state, before you realize the truth, before you realize the self, when you see this world, you are seeing all these manifestations as presence, Krishna's presence in there. Through experience of this energy, of Maya. That is what Krishna is saying, Arjuna is going to say in the next verse. If you look, you will see that these verses are, there is a pattern in which it's happening. Self-realization happens. One day it so happened, one person, he went to one great sage and told him that I'm reading Bhagavad Gita every day, but nothing is happening, he said. Nothing is happening. So the sage asked him that what is happening when you read Bhagavad Gita, he said. He says, I read Bhagavad Gita, but it is not saying anything particularly. So what did Bhagavad Gita say to you, he said. He said, there's a lot of general instructions in the Bhagavad Gita, but nothing specifically instructed to me. I've read through so many times, but nothing has happened. But what did you understand? What is Bhagavad Gita telling you? He said, Bhagavad Gita is telling me that you have to take your attention inside. That's exactly, he said, that's exactly what Bhagavad Gita is telling you. Bhagavad Gita is telling you, don't look at me. You look at yourself inside. Without looking at inside who you are, don't keep on looking at me. That's what Bhagavad Gita is telling you. So, it took a while for him to understand that he is not getting the message. He is not taking the message seriously. He is reading Bhagavad Gita, memorizing verses, just like we all do, isn't it? Just like we all do. We are not criticizing this, but we study, we go courses, we do seminars, we do competitions, we do memory of the verses and all that. That's okay. In one level, that's fine. But after that, there is something more to do. That's more important. What is that? Bhagavad Gita is telling us to do something. What's that? To look at yourself. Who you are. Who are you? That question to ask. So that is the point here. That when there is no knowledge of the self, who you are, when you see things in Maya, everything is very shocking. Everything is very shocking at that time, without the knowledge of the self. When there is knowledge of the self or self-realization, then when you experience Maya, it is different. It is not the same at that point. That is why he says it is at that point, that is what Krishna, Arjuna is asking him, Krishna, who are you? He's asking, isn't it? Tvamaksharam paramam veditavyam, tvamasya vishvasya param nidhanam, tvamavyaya shashvata dharma gopta, sanatanastvam purushomatome. That is Arjuna's realization. Arjuna is saying to Krishna, tvam aksharam paramam veditavyam. Tvam aksharam. Aksharam means, we are all sharam. Krishna is aksharam. Aksharam. Aksharam means, one who never gets destroyed, always there, all the time exists. In other words, the soul, always existing. Tvam aksharam paramam. It's a supreme thing. Veditavyam tomasya vishvasya param nidhanam. And it is that soul, the supreme, the absolute truth, the consciousness, is the basis on which the whole creation is operating. Is it not? That's what I say. Tomasya vishvasya param nidhanam. Nidhanam means the basis. Adhishtanam or nidhanam means the basis. Tomasya vishvasya param nidhanam. That you are that nidhanam, adhishtanam, or the substratum, whatever that is called, you are that in which all these things are happening. Which one? Creation is happening, living entities are coming out, living entities are maintaining themselves, and then living entities are disappearing. All this is happening in the background of the soul. In the background of the soul. That is what Arjuna is saying there. Tvam aksharam paramam veditavyam, tvam asya vishvasya param nidhanam, tvam avyaya. Avyaya means one who is inexhaustible. That is never, there is no end to this. It's always existing. There is no time you can say it will not exist. There is no time say you can say it never existed. There is no time you can say that it will come to an end any time. It will always exist. That is avyayam. Tvam avyayam, what else? Shashvata dharma goptaha. Shashvata dharma gopta. Eternal dharmam, eternal consciousness or eternal occupation of the living entity. That is also in Krishna's decides. Krishna decides. Sanatanastvam purushomatome. Sanatanastvam. Sanatana means eternal. One who has no beginning nor end. That Purusha is you. Arjuna says to Krishna here. So this is what happened to Arjuna when he saw that form. Dharmagopta sanatanastvam purushomatome. Never he gets destroyed. That Krishna's this potency never gets destroyed. Then what did he say? That is the two verses 19 and 20. Anadi madhyandam ananda viryam ananda bahum shashi surya netram pashyami tvam deepta hutashavatram sudejasa vishwamidam tapandam dhyava pradivyoridamandaram hi vyaptam dayegena dishascha sarva drishtalbudam rupamugram tavedam logatraya pravyadidam mahalman. Here, that Krishna, Arjuna is saying to Krishna, anadi madhyandam ananda viryam ananda bahum shashi surya netram. He says here, anadi madhyandam adija madhyanja andaha chana vidyade. Cannot understand the beginning, middle or the end. Yasya sa ayam anadi madhyandaha tam tuam anadi madhyandam ananda viryam. na tava viryasya andaha asti. That also we cannot measure the viryam of that, the strength of that form, strength of that form. Ananda viryaha, ananda bahum means unlimited hands. Shashi Surya Netram, and has got this universal form, has got eyes like moon and the sun and the moon, the eyes. Sun and the moon. Shashi Surya Netre, Yasya Tava Satvam, Shashi Surya Netra, Tam Tvam, Shashi Surya Netram, Chandra Aditya Nayanam, Pashyami Tvam, Deepta Hudansha Vaktram. Deepta Hudansha Vaktram. The Deepta Hudansha Vaktram means that face of that universal form is such that it's like a fire burning. It's like a fire burning. Because the eyes are of that universal form is the moon and the sun. Moon and the sun. And it also appears as though from the that effulgence from that universal form, the whole creation is melting, is getting melted in that heat from the universal form. So Dhyava Pradivyodhina Mandarahu Yaptam Dvayyan Dishishya Sarva. And what else he says here? Then it is present when Arjuna looks at it. The universal form is present in this world. It's present in the atmosphere. It's present in the heavenly planets, in the earthly planet, and in all directions that universal form is spread everywhere. And he says here, that is an important thing. Arjuna is saying that's a very fierce and frightening form. Ugram tavedam, he says. Drishto albudam, it's such an amazing form, it's frightening as well. And ugram tavedam, logatrayam pravedidam mahalman. Logatrayam, all the three worlds, three planetary systems, and three planetary systems, they are spread everywhere. And it is very fierce form, and it is very frightening as well. Frightening and very cruel form, that is. Arjuna says like that. So, this universal form, wherever he saw this, Arjuna saw that, he mentions there, that this is not the Krishna I am used to. When he saw this form, he says here, that the friend, who is Krishna, Arjuna's friend, I am not seeing that form. And he understands that Krishna is the super soul in everyone. And when Krishna is creating, there is Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva. Three modes of nature predominators, isn't it? Brahma for Rajogunam, Vishnu Satugunam, and Shiva for Tamogunam. So, for them, three functions, functionally, Brahma has to create, Vishnu has to maintain, and Shiva has to destroy. So, from now on, when you read this chapter, you can see this chapter is practically not Vishnu. It's actually Shiva who is present there. Why? All the destruction when he is seeing there, it is Krishna's Shiva form that is functioning here. The expression, if you read the explanations here of Arjuna's perception of the universal form, is exactly like the destruction that is happening there. Destruction that is happening. That's why he says here, Akhyahimego Bhavan Ugraruba Namostude Devavara Prasida. That Ugrarubam, when he was experiencing in that universal form, that it is not Vishnu's form, rather it is Shiva's form. Why? He is seeing all the destruction that is happening there. So, that is why generally Shiva is addressed as Parameshwara, because who controls everything and who destroys everything, isn't it? He controls and he destroys everything. So here you can see that Ishvara Sarvabhudanam, that verse in the Bhagavad Gita also, Hrideshe Arjuna Tishtadi, Brahmayan Sarvabhudani Yendrarudhani Mayaya. So there, that Ishvara is referring to time personified. Time, who destroys everything. Time is the cause of destruction, everything, isn't it? Ultimately, we are all under control of time. In a very subtle level, Krishna controls us through time, isn't it? He tells us you can live for 50 years in this body, or 60 years in this body, or 80 years, whatever. That's it. So that means you are controlled by that time factor, time factor. According to the time that's been allotted to you, that's how much your time you've got here. No matter who it is, whether it is president or prime minister or ordinary man in the street, it's all same. They're all, in Krishna's estimation, they're all same. We all have got a certain number of years, time, to live in this body, and then we have to go. So, there, time factor. And who controls the time? The time generally is referred to Shiva more than Vishnu. Because Vishnu's duty is not, he is maintainer. Shiva is the destroyer, isn't it? Brahma is the creator, Vishnu is the maintainer, and Shiva is the destroyer. So that destroying factor or destroying nature of Shiva, that is, Krishna has authorized Shiva to have that. That is Krishna's one aspect of destroying, destruction. And that is what you are seeing in the many verses from now on. It is that destructive factor of Shiva. So, because how will you know that in the next, you will see in the next verse, Kalosmi loga kshayagal pravartha, logan samahartamiha pravartha, hridevitvan bhavishyandi sarve, evastida pratyani geshayodhaha. Kalosmi, Krishna saying, Kalosmi, I am time. So when Krishna says I am time, it means he is referring to Shiva. That's how you have to understand that. Because these three personalities, Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva, they have to function under these three titles. Creator, maintainer and destroyer. And Kalosmi is destroyer. Kalam is the destroyer, everything, isn't it? Kalam kalayadamaham, Krishna says. That Kalam, time, is Shiva. And Vishnu is the maintainer who keeps this going. And Brahma is the creator. So, Krishna is going to say later on, Kalosmi loga kshayagra pavruddaha. In that sense, Vishnu, Shiva, Brahma, they are all Krishna's another expansions. And this Krishna has spoken about this in the chapter before. If you look into the 10th chapter, you will see there, in the verse 30, Kalam kalayadamaham, he says. In other words, Kalam kalayadamaham means what? I am time. Among Kalam kalayadamaham, chapter 10, verse 30. Prahladaschasmidaityanam kalakalayadamaham mriganam cha mrigendroham vainadeyascha pakshinam. This is one of Krishna's opulences. So, kalam kalayadamaham. In the thing what you count is the time, isn't it? You count the time, so many years, like that you count. So, among the things what you count, I am time, he says. And that is Krishna's expansion of Shiva, Shiva's presence. Why? Because you will see in the earlier verses also, there is mentions there that Adityanam Aham Vishnu, Rudranam Nilalohidaha. Nilalohida means Shankara. Nilalohida is Shiva. Adityanam Aham Vishnu, among the Adityas, among the sons, I am Vishnu. And Rudranam Nilalohida. And among the Rudras, there are 11 Rudras, among them I am Shiva, Shankara, he says. In Adityam I am Vishnu. And in swallowing everyone, I am time, Krishna says. I swallow everybody in through time. Through time, I am swallow everyone. So, what is Arjuna seeing here? That what is Krishna swallowing now here? Some time ago, Arjuna has seen Dhritarashtra, his 100 children, Bhishma, Drona. They all, Arjuna has seen them in the battlefield. He has seen all of them, isn't it? He has seen Bhishma, Drona and the whole battlefield. He has seen the army there. And he has also seen Dhritarashtra and his 100 sons. So, in the verse 21, if you look, you will see what he says there. Amihitvam surasangha vishandi. Sangha vishandi. Kejil bhida pranjaleyo granandi. Susti tyuktva maharshi siddha sangha. Suvanditvam studibhi pushkalabhim. Amihitvam surasangha vishandi. Kejit bhida pranjaleyo granandi. Susti tyuktva maharshi siddha sangha. Suvanditvam studibhi pushkalabhim. Arjuna also noticed that in that universal form, many demigods were standing there, which means Brahma, Shiva, Vishnu, they are all in that category. They are standing there and they are frightened of you. And with folded hands, they are glorifying you. Folded hands, they are glorifying you. And then all the great sages and siddhas. Siddhas means great personalities who have got siddhis. And they are also glorifying Krishna. They are also glorifying Krishna. Kejit bhida pravish ahamihi yudhyamana yodhara tva tvam surasanghaya atra bhubhara avadaraya avadirna vaswadi devasanghaha manusha samsthanam te tvam vishandi pravishando drishyande tarat kejil bhida pranjaleya sando granandi stuvandi tvam anye palayane api ashaktaha sandaha. They don't know what to do. They are frightened, but they can't go anywhere. All they could do was to stand there and glorify you. Yuddhe pratyupasthide utpadadi nimittani ubalashya swasti astu jagada ini utva maharshi siddha sangaha maharshinam siddhanam ja sangha stuvanditvam stuvibhi pushkalabhi sambhurnabhihi. So, many of the personalities who are demigods and personalities from the higher planets who have come with Krishna to fight in the Mahabharata war. Many of them were there in the army. They were present there. And they are also taken the human form. And they are all entering to Krishna's body. They could see that. Arjuna could see that. That they had come here on Krishna's request. Krishna invited everybody, isn't it? Whoever wants to come during the appearance. And many had come to participate in Krishna's pastimes in this world. And Arjuna could see them entering into Krishna's body at that time. And some people could not run away from there. They are so frightened and they are standing there and they are glorifying you. And when the war was ready, war was going to happen, seeing all the dust in the battlefield, and the wind, strong cyclonic winds, everything, all inauspicious things. The sages have noticed that happening in the creation. And the wishing auspiciousness for the world, all the great sages and the siddhas, they are also glorifying you by their own glorifications in a nice way. They are also glorifying you. What else? In other words, after this, what he is saying here? After that, Rudraditya Vasavo Yeja Sadhyaha Vishveshino Maruda Shoshvavascha Gandharva Yaksha Sura Siddha Sankha Vichande Tvam Ismidas Chaiva Sarve Rudraditya Vasavo Yeja Sadhyaha Vishveshino Maruda Shoshavascha Gandharva Yaksha Sura Siddha Sankha Vikshande Tvam Mismidas Chaiva Sarve. Here Arjuna is giving a list of personalities. Rudra Aditya Vasavo Yeja Sadhya. Rudra, Shiva, Adityas, Vasus, Sadhya, Vishwadeva, Visheshanu, Maruts, and all the Pitrulokam, Pitrudevatas, Gandharvas, Yakshas, Asuras, Siddhas, and all their groups of them, in groups. They are there and they are looking at you with great amazed, completely amazed by that. They are looking at you. So here, that the Rudraditya Vasuvaya Sadhya Visheshano Manada Shoshobascha Gandharva Yakshasura Siddha Sangha Vikshan Detam Ismidas Chaiva Sarve. Then Arjuna says to him that this is all Arjuna's, how he is seen in universal form. Rubam Mahate Bhuvatra Netram Mahabaho Bahubahu Rubadam Bahudaram Bahudam Shrakaralam Drishtva Loka Pravyadidas Tathaham Rubam Mahate Bahuvatra Netram Mahabaho Bahubahu Rubadam Bahudaram Bahudam Shrakaralam Drishtva Loka Pravyadidas Tathaham. Unlimited mouths, unlimited eyes, very fat thighs and hands and legs and bellies and very ugly looking mouths and big dhamshtram. Dhamshtram means the, what do they call the big teeth, like the tigers and the lions have got that kind of powerful big teeth as well. After seeing all that, Bahudaram Bhadamstra Karalam Bahubi Damstrabi Karalam Vigradam Tad Bahudamstra Karalam Drushtva Rubam Idrisham Loka Laukigaha Praninaha Pravyadidaha Prajalida Bhayena Tatha Aham Abhi. Seeing all this form, they are all frightened. Arjuna is saying, seeing this form, all of them are frightened and I am also frightened. Arjuna is saying to Krishna, Laukigaha Pranina Pravyadidaha Prajalida Bhayena Tatha Aham Abhi. I am also equally frightened. Then the next verse. Nabhaspresham deeptamaneka varnam. Vyatananam deepta vishalanetram. Drishtuahitvam pravyadhidandaralma. Dridimna vindamishamanja vishno. Nabhaspresham deeptamaneka varnam. Vyatananam deepta vishalanetram Drishtuahitvam pravyadhidandaralmam Dridimna vindamishamanja vishno. Addressing Krishna, Arjuna says, the form touches the sky and it is so effulgent and many colors as well, and all the mouths are open and the eyes are so big and it is frightening. And with that, Krishna, Arjuna says to Krishna that seeing that form, I am losing my balance of mind, state of composure. I am completely lost my balance, he says. And I have no strength to stand this. And I have no peace inside. I am feeling very disturbed, Arjuna is saying to Krishna. Arjuna is saying to Krishna, I am very, very disturbed seeing this form, seeing this form. And you can see that the power of Maya. Maya can frighten us. In fact, she does it now and then, isn't it? She does that sometimes. She puts us in all sorts of awkward situations, and then sometimes she wipes us out from here in bulk. And then we are not there to think about it. Who did that even? We're gone. We don't have any knowledge of anything what has happened after that. Those who are left behind, they will say, why did this happen? Why your God is like this? If the God is all good, why he has done like this? All this kind of questions they bring up at that time. That is why these things are spoken in the Bhagavad Gita. These verses are spoken in the Bhagavad Gita with a specific reason behind it. That God is not only good, God is equally bad as well. All good and bad, everything is Krishna. That is the Vedic understanding. In many other places you will see people say God is all good. It's only good things God will do. Whereas the bad things somebody else does. That's how it is. But in the Vedic system, in the Upanishad says, and all the Rishi says, Krishna is all good and Krishna is all bad. Everything bad also is coming from Krishna. So that's why these verses you will see here, that in the next verse, in this verse also, he says here that the open mouth and the powerful and fierce eyes, and seeing all that, I lost all my courage and happiness, everything is completely draining up. Krishna, Arjuna is getting drained up. Damshtra karalani jate mukhani drishtaiva kala nala sannibhani dishona jani nalabheja sharma prasida devesha jagannivasa damshtra karalani jate mukhani drishtaiva kala nala sannibhani Disho na jani nalabheja sharma prasida devesha jagannivasa. So here you can see Arjuna is addressing Krishna as Jagannivasa. Never Krishna, Arjuna addressed Krishna like that as Jagannivasa before, like Jagannath. He's addressing your Jagannivasa. And he says to him that damshtra karalani damshtrabi karalani vigridani te tava mukhani drishtva. That seeing your face in that way, with all these frightening forms, kalanala sannibhani, that the I am unable to understand the time now. What is time means actually? Because kalanala sannibhani, kalanala sadrishani, drishtva iti edad. Purva abhara vivekena na jane ding modo jata asmi atha na labheja na upalabheja shamam sukham atha prasida prasanno bhava he devesha jagannivasa. He says here that I cannot even, by seeing this form now, I can't even understand which direction is this. Directions I have lost, east, west, north, south, nothing, I have no knowledge. Which direction this is all happening? And I'm not feeling comfortable, he says to him, please. And all those people who are going to fight with me and who are going to defeat me, they are also getting killed in this process. Why? Arjuna is seeing all of them is getting swallowed by Krishna's universal form. When these mouths, big mouths are open, in that Bhishma is going in, Drona is going in, Duryodhana is going in, all of them. And Arjuna is supposed to fight with them later in the war, isn't it? But all that is happening right now in the universal form itself. And that is why he says here, people whom I thought that they are going to fight with me and going to defeat me, they have also gone. Now what am I supposed to do now? I've come to fight the war. The war is already over now. It's that experience Arjuna had in this. So you can see, when you study Mahabharatam and Bhagavad Gita, you must know this thing, that it is not to be studied like a historical text. If you study Mahabharatam like that, you will get confused about it. You will think the war is over, then why again another war? The purpose of whole Mahabharatam is to present this Bhagavad Gita to us. That was the reason behind it. The background is the battlefield of Kurukshetra and the Mahabharata war. That is the background of that. That's where it was spoken. Bhagavad Gita was spoken there. But if you get involved in the war and want to know the details of the war, where it happened exactly, how it happened, which day it happened, such details are not so important. Important thing is the message that is coming through Bhagavad Gita. That's more important. But to make us realize certain reasons why Arjuna's this realization that he is seeing all things have already decided, Arjuna's realization now. It's only after that Krishna told him that whether you fight the war or not, it's immaterial. The battle is over. But if you fight now, and if they get killed, you will get the credit. That's all it is to Arjuna. So nimitta matram bhava savisaji, Krishna will say that later to Arjuna. Now here, so just like in the, more like a Prahlada seeing Narasimha, Krishna is seeing Arjuna, Arjuna is seeing Krishna now. Like the way Prahlada saw Narasimha. Narasimha had got that big teeth and all that frightening, isn't it? And that's why I say Kalanala Sannibhani. So here he says here, "Hey Vishnu, I am not feeling any strength in me. I've lost all strength to do anything." And he's frightened. Normally you can see when somebody is very frightened in life also, so they will immediately lose their strength, isn't it? It's quite common in this world also. We also know that, isn't it? Suppose you are very frightened. Something happened. You're so frightened. What will happen? You lose your strength straight away. All your willpower, everything goes away. So all that fear and all that distress came to Arjuna for a moment. And whatever vasanas Arjuna had inside, all that is coming up now when he saw this universal form. When he saw the universal form, whatever vasanas inside Arjuna had, Arjuna also had fear. It's not that he was totally freedom from fear because of fighting. He had the fear, he had to fight against Bhishma. He had the fear against Karna, against Drona. They were all stalwarts, weren't they? Great personalities they were in fighting. And Arjuna didn't know, army-wise, he's not that size-wise big. Duryodhana had a much bigger army and big fighters as well. And they were, to a large extent, dependent on Arjuna to win the war. Arjuna's ability. Because among all the five brothers, Arjuna was the greatest archer. So all that responsibility on Arjuna's head. So Arjuna was fearful, various fear of various forms with different people. That was also there. That's why he says here, all that fear, vasanas inside, what he had, it's all coming out in these words. It's all coming out here. Arjuna says here, pravyadhidhandaratma. Pravyadhidhandaratma means, I am frightened. Arjuna is saying, and when he is frightened, he is thinking that others are also frightened in the same way. He is imposing that fear, what he is experiencing, on others who are present there. And he says here, even the sages and the demigods who are present there, they are also frightened. And in fact, reality, Arjuna's fear is reflecting through them. Because Arjuna is experiencing it, isn't it? Actually, there is nothing happening. Krishna has not done anything. Krishna has given this experience to Arjuna. And within himself, he is seeing this form. He has experienced that form. And while experiencing, he has got whatever vasanas he has got, it will be present in all those who are present there as well in what he is seeing. That's how it is. You should look at it that way, that it is Arjuna who is getting this realization, isn't it? The realization of Maya, Arjuna is experiencing within himself. So when Arjuna is experiencing that, whatever vasana Arjuna has inside, it will come through all the personalities who are present in that universal form. Yeah? Present in the universal form. They will also have the same. That's why Arjuna's fear is seen in them by Arjuna. Yeah? Arjuna's fear is seen in those personalities by Arjuna. The same fear what he has inside. So, and then what, that's what he's saying, that 25th verse, what we just read. Dhamshtrakarala nija te mukhani drishtaiva gala nala sannibhani dishona jani nala bheja sharma prasida devesha jainivasa, he says. So Arjuna is not feeling happy, and when he saw Krishna in the two-handed form, Arjuna was very happy. And now this form, nala bheja sharma prasida devesha jainivasa, he says. He says, Jainivasa, addressing Krishna, says here, please be pleased with me. Be pleased with me. So this vision, what Arjuna has here, is Krishna's mercy. Is Krishna's mercy. All the time, if Arjuna sees Krishna as a beautiful personality as his friend, that's not sufficient. Why? People who are experiencing only happiness in life, they will not be able to withstand distress when it comes. Yeah? When distress comes, they cannot withstand that, because throughout life they only knew happiness in life, nothing else. So that is why so many things will happen in this world, earthquakes, and sometimes drought, cyclone, and various kinds of disasters can happen in this world. So realize the soul, because they see the other aspect of Krishna, they will address it like that is also Krishna's another manifestation. We should be able to see it like that. Otherwise, our Krishna consciousness is not correct. When happiness is when somebody is experiencing happiness in this world, when they get suddenly a lot of distress, they will find it very difficult to withstand that, isn't it? Similarly, in this world, if everything is going on peacefully, suddenly a lot of distress comes in various forms. Various forms of distress can come, isn't it? Euro can collapse, banks can go out of business, all your money in the banks can go. And forcefully, one day, if material nature decides, go back and work in the field and create food properly and eat. If she puts us into that situation, we have no choice there, isn't it? So at that time, we shouldn't complain that why God is like, this is how always it happens. When people will not worry about God, think about God in any other way. They think that his only job is to keep us always happy in this world. So therefore, in Vedic literature, it's very particular they are about it. Both are Krishna's different faces. Krishna's different faces. So those who have seen only happiness and good things in this world, they will never be able to get over distress. They will never be able to get over distress. Both are Krishna's two different forms. Both are Krishna's two different forms. Just like front and the back. Front and the back. So similarly, a lot of distress comes in life in different forms. Personal distress or distress collectively for everybody. At that time, you have to take it that it mentions in the Devi Mahalakshmi that Sri Parvati, she is killing a demon called Chandamundasura. This is an asura. He was killing her. Drishtamitvam kripa samara nishturyadaja drishta toyeva devi. That externally, she is very cruel and killing him. But inside, she is very soft. That's her nature. Glorifying her like that. Maya Devi. Maya, externally, she wants to kill that demon, particular demon. But inside, she is very soft. A woman's nature. Inside is soft. But externally, she is very, very cruel. So, otherwise, many things what's happening in this world, you won't be able to explain properly. You won't be able to explain properly. Sometimes people will ask, why your God is like this? He's supposed to be very merciful. We are saying all the time, isn't it? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so merciful. But if an earthquake happens or a drought happens, cyclone happens, will you say the same thing about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? You are very merciful. We won't say that, would we? Now we say he is very merciful. So when we say about Krishna also, we have to understand in this way that there is another side of Krishna which is very distressful, and we should be able to recognize that also as Krishna's manifestation. Only then our understanding is correct. During Second World War, Prabhupada was mentioning this. The Japanese were bombing Calcutta. They were bombing Calcutta. Prabhupada was young. Japan, they were attacking from the east. And they were bombing Calcutta very heavily. And things were blowing up all over. Prabhupada says that's Krishna. Prabhupada says that's Krishna. That is how you understand Krishna. Otherwise, if you understand, Krishna is so beautiful, he is the Radha Gokulananda form standing in the temple with the flute in the hand, nicely dressed, eating all the burfis and gulab jamuns, and such a nice person he is. If you think like that, when this distress comes, you won't be able to understand Krishna at that time. Krishna's another side is there that we shouldn't forget. So we will not be able to answer otherwise when people ask that question. There is So sometimes these questions do come. Why these things happen, isn't it? Krishna is the complete controller in everything. Krishna is the complete controller of everything. Because this question is very relevant. You know why? Why it's relevant? In the modern world, what do you see? A lot of people are very much into preaching religion in a particular way, in the sense that they want to get the number increased in their group, isn't it? People do like that. And for that, they are willing to go to any extent to get people transferred into their, or change their understanding of God consciousness in the way they want. They want to increase their number and become strong in the group in this world, like that. So traditionally, from the Vedic point of view, knowledge can be given to others, and enlightening others to help spiritually to develop is acceptable. It is a good thing to do. It is good to enlighten people on a spiritual level and develop them spiritually. That is acceptable. But simply for increasing the number, and many religions have that dogma, isn't it? Somehow you should have 10 children. And if you keep doing that, it's happening all over. In India particularly, it is quite a big problem, that is, sometimes. So some religions may have a large number of people in a very short period of time. Each will have 10, 15 children and all that. And then population increases, and then it's a different number increases, means the strength of the number will develop, isn't it? So people ask this question, then if you don't do like that, what will happen to the Vedic culture? What will happen to Vedic culture? Because if everyone takes to this brahmachari life, or keeping the family numbers limited instead of expanding the family, one day will the Vedic culture disappear from this world? This kind of questions. Always people ask these questions, that will the Vedic culture disappear from this world? So the answer is that this kind of questions have no relevance. Because if you observe the world, you can notice this thing, that actually always it's Krishna's plan that is working. It's Krishna's plan that is working. If Krishna wants to wipe out the Vedic culture from this world, he may have a reason for doing that. And we won't know that, what it is, if that his desire is. People are always concerned about it, that the different political parties take control of the administration, and people say that, oh, this political party comes into power, they are not in favor of our philosophical thought, they don't help us. Somebody else comes, they help Hare Krishnas, they are very helpful to us, so they are on our side. This is all misunderstanding. Krishna consciousness doesn't work like that. Krishna consciousness is, Krishna is controlling everything, Krishna knows what he is doing, Krishna will do what he has to do. We have no right or to question that, nor we have any control over all these things. If one day a tradition, which is Vedic tradition, which had created peace and happiness and self-realization as the goal in this life, which never went out to create trouble in other places, which never went out to conquer others, which never went out to create cruelty toward other living entity, such a peaceful society who followed this Vedic tradition, if Krishna decides one day to take it off from this world, it may be that it is his idea that time is going to be so bad that they may not live here better. That's also another possibility. I'm saying that all these are there behind it. How Krishna run the show, we cannot understand that. This is what the important point. That Damshtrakarala Nija Temukhani Drishtaiva Kala Anala Sannipani Prasida Devesha Jaganyavasa. That Krishna is in control. Recognizing that is the most important thing. Krishna is in control. Whatever that happens, sometimes it is. It may be a concern for many people when they see that so many things are happening in this world. Vedic culture, some people who are attracted by Vedic culture, they find that what will happen to the Vedic culture, the way it's going everywhere, and materialism increasing, and atheism is increasing, politicians are against religious life, spiritual life, they are creating havoc everywhere, they want to destroy places. people get concerned about all these things, isn't it? Just like when Vrindavan is getting destroyed by the government policies. Not only Vrindavan, in so many places, all the holy places, everything, government has decided that this is how our development has to go on. So they decided like that. Because of that, if Vedic culture is going to be destroyed, it's not going to be destroyed. It won't. It won't happen that way. Because Krishna has a reason behind everything. When such things are happening, because we are thinking, those who are taken accepted that this world is absolutely a reality in that sense, for them, maybe Krishna has a better plan for those who are attracted to Krishna consciousness. Krishna may have decided that you don't live in Vrindavan anymore, go away from here. Let the government build their refineries or fertilizer plants or in industries or whatever they want, supermarkets or car parking facilities. What use of that Vrindavan for us? If they create a Vrindavan like that, full of supermarkets and motorways and airports and things like that, how will you relate with that Vrindavan anymore? So the thing is this, that in changes that's happening in the material nature, Krishna is engineering it from behind, and he may have his own reasons for doing so. It is not our responsibility to fight against all these things and waste our time in doing that. It is not going to help also very much. That is what it is saying here, that who knows what will happen from now, another 100 years from now, how life will be in this world. Nobody expected that things can happen in a different way, isn't it? Now everywhere there is anxiety, there is always concern about life, isn't it? What's going to happen? So you must also recognize this point. That means as much as there is a soft aspect of Krishna, there is a very cruel aspect of Krishna also. Both are coming from Krishna. Both are coming from Krishna. Sometimes when Krishna shows that cruelty to us, it will be Krishna's great mercy. That also you have to understand. Why? Suppose we go out of control with our advancement in economic development. If it goes to the extreme, to the point that we show no mercy to each other, we have no more any good truthfulness, honesty, everyone trying to exploit each other. If a situation happens like that, and suddenly Krishna creates a situation in this world that Krishna has to control us somehow, then he may have to apply some of this most powerful medicine. When that happens, we have no choice, because that's the only way our ego will come down. There's no other way. If somebody tells us, we won't listen. And we don't have that sense also, we shouldn't do things, certain things. We go completely leaving behind Krishna, we go ahead with our economic development and also to exploit the material nature, and also loses all kinds of good qualities, and we become totally ruthless to each other. And if a stage comes like that, Maya has to act, and she will be very cruel at that time. And when she does that, that is Krishna's mercy to us. Because if she doesn't do that, our heads, we won't think properly anymore. We have lost our sense of discrimination. So that destruction at that time is Krishna's mercy actually, isn't it? So there's nothing to be worried about it. But devotee should know that these both sides of Krishna. That is why all these things are spoken in this universal form. Maya is not always good only. Maya has got that bad side as well. Good side as well as the bad side. Both are present in her. And she knows what is necessary, and she will do that. And it is only those who haven't accepted that, they have a problem when something wrong happens. Look at this way. Tsunami happened. You remember tsunami happened a few years ago? Tsunami happened. When tsunami happened, a large number of buildings, people, they all lost their life. They all lost their life, isn't it, in tsunami? A lot of people died and a lot of people lost their life. Never seen again after that. They're gone. So when the material nature has made this to happen, now prior to tsunami happened, the birds and various animals, they all got the indication to escape from there. Why? Why is it like that? Because unlike human society, birds and animals, they live completely according to nature's law. There is no falsego in them, like us. We are the ones who break the law. They don't break the law. So Krishna says, only I need to get rid of this lot, not you lot. You are okay. They get their advance warning. Many of them escape from there, particularly the birds and animals. Cats even escaped apparently from the tsunami. They managed to escape from there. Cats, dogs even. And so similarly, only the human society was affected by that. So all natural disasters you will notice there, it is a human society who has to take the brunt of that. Why? Because false ego is operating within the human society, not in those living entities. They are free from that. So they are, Krishna says, they are always protected. They are always protected in that way. So the point is that good as well as the bad is coming from Krishna. So here, after seeing this form, nothing to be frightened. Arjuna got frightened. What is Arjuna seeing here? That is the next verse. 26. Ami chatvam dhritarashtrasya putraha. Sarvai sahaivavani pala sankhaihi. Bhishmo drona suta putrastathasau. Sahasmadiyairabhiyodamukhaihi. Amijatvam dhritarashtrasya putraha. Sarve sahaivavani pala sankhaihi. Bhishmo drona suta putrastathasau. Sahasmadiyairabhiyodamukhaihi. Next verse. Vaktrani detvaramana vishandi. Damshtra karalani bhayanagani. Kejit vilagna dashanandaresho. Samdrishyande churnidai uttamangaihi. Vaktrani detvaramana vishandi. Damshtra karalani bhayanakani. Kejit vilagna dashanandareshum. Samdrishyande churnidai uttamangaihi. So, last verse, if you look, who is Arjuna seeing in the universal form? He is seeing here Dhritarashtra's children, Duryodhana, in the universal form. And they are all entering into the universal form. And Bhishma, Drona, Karna and Drishtadyumna, that is Arjuna's person, is Arjuna's army commander. All these great, great personalities, and they are all dying in that battle. This is what Arjuna is saying. So practically Arjuna has got the hint already that Drishtadyumna is going to die. Remember that? Drishtadyumna was born at the time Swayam Panjali Draupadi was born, isn't it? So Drishtadyumna is going to die, and that was known to Arjuna, that Drishtadyumna will die in the battle. Along with them, he also saw Bhishma, Drona, Karna and Duryodhana and all others entering into that universal form, followed by Krishna. And they are entering into, those two verses you have to read together, 26 and 27, because they are together. And they are entering, and some of them are stuck in the teeth, in the universal form, in the teeth, they are stuck. And their heads are also breaking up. All the skull is getting broken up while entering into the Krishna's mouth. So, Vaktrani Mukhani Te Twaramanaha. Tvara ayuktaha sando vishandi kim vishishtani mukhani damshtakaralani bhayanagani bhayangarani kim cha kejit mukhani pravishtana madhi vilagna dashanandareshu mamsam iva bhakshidam. And Krishna is eating them. all of them, all these people. Sandrishyande ubalabhyande churnidehi churnikrithai uttamange shirobhihi. Then churnidam, churna means powder. It is getting into and getting powdered in Krishna's mouth. All these Bhishma, Drona, Karna and others. And appears as though Krishna is eating their flesh. Krishna is eating their flesh. And katham pravishanti mukhani iti aha. How they are entering into Krishna's mouth. That is what is spoken there. How they are entering into Krishna's mouth. So, here, all the great personalities, kings, Bhishma, Drona, Karna, and not only many people from Pandava side also dying. And they are also going into Krishna's universal form. Going through Krishna's mouth. They are going in. So, Arjuna could see that all these people are going to die in the war, which is going to happen now. So, here, Krishna will say to Arjuna later, you are just only a nimittam. Nimittam means just an external reason, that's all. So, basically Krishna is saying to him, I've already killed all of them. All of them. I've already killed all of them. Just like in the television, when you are... what you are going to see, if they forward it and show it to you, everything, how will you feel? You will see everything before it is shown as the serial, isn't it? Similarly, Krishna is showing everything to Arjuna, what's going to happen later on. So that's what it is. So all of us, we see in our life only the present time, isn't it? Vartamanam. That's important for us. Most of the time we are busy with present. Most of the time, we are busy with present. And while living in the present, our thoughts are, mind is always busy with the future. Body and other things are busy with the present. To some extent, sometimes about the past we may think. But because we are so busy with the future, we have no time to think about the past either. Most of the time, we are busy with the... So because we see only the present in all the time, we are busy with talking about the material things in life. Material things in life, isn't it? So, if we come to know today, what's going to happen in the future? We'll be frightened, isn't it? That is Krishna's mercy to us. Suppose, I know that 3 years, 5 years, I don't know, whatever time from now, I could be going through a very disaster with illness and helplessly lying in some hospital bed, not able to eat properly, or all connected up with all the machines by the doctors, and know that there is no more going back to any healthy life, it's all going to an end, but at the same time not dying also. And if all that distress, if Krishna shows to me now that this is how your death will be, or this is how you're going to leave this body, or other disasters which I may have to face in life, whatever that's going to come. If all that is shown to me today now, like in the screen, that this is all what's going to happen to me in the next 10 years or 15 years, what you are going to live here, or what will happen? Suppose you, all of you get to see the future, what's going to happen? But that is Krishna's mercy. He's not showing that. He's keeping that behind. Is it not? He's keeping that behind. Because he knows if he shows that, you will lose the balance here. You completely go out of control. If all this is what's going to happen, this is that Maya's power. Just see how she keeps us going in this world. Without getting disturbed over anything, still able to have some interest in life, able to live here in this world, in spite of all the distress, misery, what's going around, still coping against hope, as they say, and able to live here. So, therefore, Vedavyasa Maharshi says, Chatushravana Galastamam Darduram, he says. Chatushravana means, there are two snakes looking at each other, one looking at the other. This snake has got one frog in its mouth. Other snake has also got a frog in its mouth. And this frog is telling the other frog, I will look after you, you don't worry. One frog is in the mouth of this one snake, the other frog is in the mouth of the other snake. In this world, we are all talking to each other, I'll look after you, I'll help you, you help me, I'll help you. We got all these insurance policies, this and everything. this Shastram says it is like Chatushravana Galastamam Darduram. Darduram means this frog which is in the mouth of the snake. The snake is swallowing the frog. It goes one after the time. Every few minutes it will take a few more inside, go inward, isn't it? Similarly, this thing called time, who is in all of us, is under the snake called time. And the time is ready to swallow every one of us, isn't it? Every one of us will be swallowed by time. And we are telling each other, look, we as a family will be alright. You take care of me, I'll take care of you. And look after each other, isn't it? This is not only happening in the family level, it's happening in the country level, it's happening in different levels all over the world, isn't it? They create groups like this. They create NATO, they create SEATO, all kinds of organizations together. We will work together and we'll protect our interest. And we will take care of them, we'll make sure that they don't do anything to us. We can protect ourselves, this feeling, isn't it? So this is all coming from this misconception. Nobody can protect anybody. Our destiny is already decided very clearly. So, Chatushravana Galastamam Darduram. That is the word Vedavyasa Maharshi uses there. So, we are all sitting like that frog in the mouth of the snake. And anything can happen any moment. And sometimes we say something happens, we'll say, oh, he deserves it. He deserves it. Because he has shown too much. So, when it happens to us, what will you say? The same thing. So, what is going to happen? Nobody knows. And it's a good thing that it is not shown to us what's going to happen in the future. So, that is Krishna's mercy. That is why we are able to stay like this. And similarly, everything we are able to forget also, that is also Krishna's mercy. Say, for example, you are not able to forget everything. What will happen? Say, in the school, you have fought with somebody 15, 20 years ago, and you really got angry with someone. But suppose you couldn't forget that, and you are thinking of taking your revenge, or you want to retaliate for what he has done. But because Krishna's mercy is there, that you could forget that after 3 months or 6 months old, and now that connection has broken, you're not bothered about it. So many things, what we have going through in our vasanas inside, it's only due to Krishna's mercy that they are not disturbing us. They are not disturbing us. Sometimes it happens in a very extreme case, isn't it? That's why when you lose the balance completely. Sometimes in business you can see one person has cheated the other and this person wants to take revenge, they take the gun and shoot him or something like that. Things like that happen. But this able to forget things is also Krishna's mercy. That's why we are able to tolerate this life. Many things what has happened in the past, it doesn't disturb us so much. Similarly, about the future also, Krishna keeps it away from us, never shows to us, so that we don't get disturbed over it. We are able to live in the present. So, therefore, there is no point in doing much here, in this world. And also it makes us to realize that I am the doer also has no meaning. I am the doer also has... No, this you will understand. But then what is the solution? That's what Krishna is saying here. The right solution in all these things is to surrender to Krishna. Isn't it? To surrender to Krishna, that supreme force, whichever way you want to address him in that way. But only one who is very matured and has proper and deeper understanding of these things will be able to do that. Will be able to do that. So one who is not matured in that way, he will get frightened and he will get crazy. He will get crazy also. So, but Arjuna, Krishna thinks that he has that maturity to see this. Showing this future of Arjuna could see that, and he has that maturity. Therefore, Arjuna is shown this form of universal form to him. So, because here he is seeing all Dhritarashtra's children, Duryodhana and onwards, all of them are getting killed, is going into Krishna's mouth in that universal form. And they are dying there. Turamana Vishandi. And they are rushing actually to go inside. One after the other. They are rushing to get in to Krishna's mouth. That's how he is seeing there. Kejit Vilagna Dishanandareshu Samdrishyande Churnidai Uttamangehi. That is what he is saying here. That how that is happening. That is what he says. Tatha yatha, next verse. Yatha nadinam bahuambu vegaha. Samudrameva bhimukha dravandim. Tatha tavami naraloga viraham. Vishandi vaktranya bhivijjolandim. Yatha nadinam bahuambu vegaha. Samudramevabhimukhadravandim tathanavatavami naralogavira vishandi vaktranyabhivijjvalandim. So here, how they are going in, that is what is spoken there. Yadha nadhinam sarvandinam bahavaha anege ambunam vegaha ambu vegaha tura avisheshaha samudram eva abhimugaha pranimukha dravandihi pravishandi tatha tava tava ami bhishmadeyo naraloga viraha manushyaloga shuraha vishandi vaktrani abhivijjvalandi prakashamanani. Says here, a river which is flowing very very fast, when it reaches the ocean, it becomes very quiet, isn't it, at the end. When it joins the ocean, then it's ends there. Similarly, Bhishma, Drona and all these great, great personalities, they are all going in, and as soon as they hit that universal face of the universal form, that's finished. That is, they enter into it. Up to that time, they are going very fast, like a river flowing to the sea. It's flowing very fast towards the sea. But as soon as they hit that face of the universal form, it ends there. It ends there. And in the te kimartham praveshanti katham cha iti aha, why they are entering like that, that is what is explained in the next verse. Yadha pradeeptam jalanam padangaha vishanti nashaya samardhavegaha tadhaiva nashaya vishanti lokao tavabhi vaktrani samardhavegaha. Yadha pradeeptam jalanam padangam vishandi nashaya samardhavegam tadhaiva nashaya vishandi lokam tavabhi vaktrani samardhavegaham. So, naraloga viraha means those who are great personalities in this, among the human species, naraloga, among the human being. So, naraloga viraham, then he says here that samudramevami tathanavami naraloga vira vishandi vaktrani abhivijjvalandi. Vishandi vaktrani abhivijjvalandi. So, some they are like the lions in the human species, lions referring to the Bhishma, Drona and others. They are such powerful personalities, isn't it? Bhishma's history, if you read in the Mahabharatam, if you take Krishna away from Mahabharatam, then the next great personality in Mahabharatam is Bhishma, isn't it? The personality, the kind of things what Bhishma has done in Mahabharatam, if you read, you can't imagine the strength of that person. Both determination, that's why he's called Bhishma, the determination inside, and the vows he has taken. And how he tried to control this world through his, in a proper way, how he tried to control this, but at the end everything failed. And there is a story in the Mahabharatam about that. Mangyubhakyanam it is called. Mangyubhakyanam, that Bhishma talks about this to Yudhishthira Maharaj at the end. In the Bhishma study, you will see that coming. Bhishma says to Yudhishthira, why all these things have happened to you? He says that all of you got killed. All the Kauravas were killed, all the Pandavas were also killed. Everybody was killed. So what's the profit from that war at the end? There was no profit, was there? Everybody got killed, that's all the profit at the end. So he says here, so similarly, these people these lions like people, like Bhishma, Drona and all that, there are people like that, and And when you are, they are called the lions, Gramasimham, that are called. But when in the villages, the dogs act like the lions, isn't it? Have you noticed that? If one dog comes to his territory, he will say, why you, he'll bark straight away. Why you come to my territory? Because everybody thinks that it's their territory, isn't it? Every dog thinks like that. So he'll bark like that. So he says here, so similarly, these people, Bhishma, Drona and all that, they are only lions as far as at that particular moment is concerned in this earth. Otherwise they are not even lions, he says. It's like the dogs in the street dogs. So that's how he's compared. That they are, for that particular time, in their particular territory, they are like lions. But when the universal form, they are nothing. In front of the universal form, they are nothing. So they saw the Turamana Vishandi. Arjuna saw that they are also flying in to the mouth of the universal form. And so exactly like in the rainy season, when it's raining and if you burn some fire or lamp inside, all the flies will come, getting attracted by the lamp or the fire, and will come and fall into the fire. They are attracted by that form of the fire. They'll come flying in. What happens? The wings get burned and they fall into the fire and die. Similarly, and Krishna has kept his mouths open. This universal form, all the mouths are open and they're coming and falling into that. And otherwise, that's why Arjuna is saying, why have they come to fight this war? Arjuna couldn't figure out this yet. Arjuna is asking this question, why they want to fight this war? Because they also know very well that Pandavas are fighting this war out of the because they were pushed so far by the Kauravas. So something must be working in their head to fight this war. Whose head? Bhishma's, Drona's and all that. In their head also, something must be prompting them to fight this war. And that is time. That is time. Because the time has come to die, all these thoughts will come to act in that particular way. And they'll rush quickly to come to fight the war. And it will make them feel that you are Kshatriyas, you have to fight the war, take care of this. And all kinds of thoughts will develop. Krishna controls all these things from inside. And it is the same thing, what you can notice this, it's the same thing in this terrorist also, mentality. It's time for them to die, so all these thoughts will come to their head. They put the bomb there, go and kill somebody, and all kinds of ideas. Where is this coming from? Who is working, operating that from inside? This is Maya. We think that they have done it, somebody has done it, but actually what's happening to them is that it is time come for them to die. Time has come for them to die. And there is this prompting from inside to go and do such things. Why are they doing that? If you ask that question, some madness has gone inside. And somebody is forcing them to do it at that time. And because they want to die. And also they want to kill a lot of people. So practically you can see they have all come from Yama's side, from Yamalokam. They have come on a deputation here. They have to go back very quickly from here. So, and they have all come with proper arrangements to go back as well when they have come here. Otherwise you can't explain these things, isn't it? You can't explain these things otherwise. A young man, 22, 25 years old, and get inspired by ideological doctrine or something, and gets inspired to go and kill themselves. Where is this coming from? They don't know anything, what they're dying for. That's what they don't know themselves. Actually, they have not thought about it that depth, is there? They haven't. But something is prompting from inside to go and do it. And they are not there even to get glorified for their heroic acts afterwards. They're also dying at the same time. So there's no gain at all. And they also know very well by their heroic act, whatever ideology they were trying to uphold, even that doesn't get done. Nothing gets done except that they get killed and go from here. So who is prompting them to do this? And that is what this Maya is talking about. Bhishma, Drona also, they know very well they are going to go. They also know equally well that they are going to finish. And Krishna has already decided that they all have to go. Bhishma, Drona, Karna, all of them have to go. Whole army of Kauravas as well as the Pandavas, both of them have to go. Ultimately, who has left? 3 or 4 people left at the end of the war. So all of them had to go. So all of them are going like this. So all this is, this is why they get this idea, we'll go and plant the bomb somewhere. Constantly planting bombs everywhere. and these are the type of people Krishna decides that mouth is open for them to go in. So that is why we'll see that in the verse 30.
Lokan
samagran vadair jalal bhim tejo birabhurya jagal samagram vasastavo gra pratabandhi vishnu lelikhyase grasamana samandat Logan samagran vadaner jolal bhim
tejo
birabhurya jagat
samagram
vasastavo gra pratapandi vishnu. So after saying all these things, Arjuna is saying, on the other hand, tvam punaha, you are, after all these things, talks about Karna, Bhishma, Drona, and Kauravas and Pandavas. They're all going inside you, but you, about Krishna is saying, you are continuously taking them inside through your mouth, licking them, taking them inside. And your effulgence that's coming from your eyes, the fiery eyes, and is illuminating all whole world. And at the same time, with that power of that heat, and you are burning the whole place. You are burning the whole place. So, while Krishna was swallowing all of them, he's tasting them, it seems. How Bhishma tastes, how Drona tastes in that universal form. And he says here, Lelikyase aswadayasi grasamana. That is that word, grasam. Grasa means to take it in. And how? Logan samagran vadaya julalbi. The Lelikyase Aswadayasi Grasamanaha Andha Praveshyan Logan Samagran Samastan Vadanai Vaktrai Juladbi Deepimane Tejobi Aburyaha Samvyapra Jagal Samagram Saha Agrena Samastam Idi Edat Kimcha Bhaso Deeptayatava Ugraha Kuraha Pradavandi Pradabam Kurvandi He Vishnu Vyapanashila. They are addressing Pradavandi Vishnu, he says. Vishnu means Vyapanashila. Vyapanashila means one who is present in everywhere. Vishnu means, that's a word. Vishnu means one who is present everywhere. Vyapanashilan. There is nowhere where he is not present. Vishnu Sarvaguhashaya. When Krishna appeared, that is how he was addressed by Vasudev. And Sudev Goswami mentions that. Vishnu Sarvaguhashaya. So everyone, one who is present everywhere, that is Vishnu. That is Vishnu. So when all these personalities are going in, Krishna is tasting them. How Bhishma tastes, how Drona tastes. And from all sides, he's seeing that the whole world is burning. And that is Ugra Subhava. That is a very, Ugra means very frightening experience there, isn't it? Because that Ugra Subhava, that Ugra means that fearful form, because it's so powerful, please tell me who you are. Arjuna is asking Krishna. That is the next verse. Akhyahimeko bhavan ugrarupo namostu de devavara prasida vijnyadu michami bhavandamadhyam nahi prajanami tava pravurtim akhyahimeko bhavan ugrarupo namostu de devavara prasida vijnyadumichyami bhavandamadhyam nahi prajanami tava pravartim. Here he says, who are you in this form? Who are you? He says, please tell me. I pay my obeisances to you. Please be please be pleased with me. I want to know who you are, because I do not understand your activities. That's what. Nahi prajanami tava pravrtim. Your activities I cannot understand. Your activities. Akhyahi kathaye mahyam, kathayame mahyam ko bhavan ugraruba. This ugrarubam, this fierce form, krura agaram, it's also a very cruel form. Namostude tubhyam he deva varaha. Then my obeisances unto you, pradhana prasida prasadam kuru. Please be merciful unto me. Vijnadum visheshena jnadum ichhami bhavandam. Adhyam ado bhavam, adhyam nahi esmal prajanami tava tudiyam pravati cheshtam. I do not know your activities. I cannot understand you. But I would like to know about you, who you are, who is this doing all these things. Because now Arjuna is not seeing that two-handed friendly form of Krishna anymore. That's completely forgotten. He's seeing this universal form he is experiencing standing there. And he is wondering that who is this personality standing like this and doing all these various kinds of things what's been spoken here. So that has caused a fear in Arjuna's mind. That is why Arjuna is asking that, who are you? That is the only question Arjuna has to ask. Why have you appeared in this form? And what is your activity? He's asking. What for have you come here? Earlier, only in that peaceful mood, when Krishna was in that peaceful mood, Arjuna remembered what Krishna told him. What did he say to Arjuna? Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyuthanam adharmasya tadalpanam srajamyaham paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya dushkradam dharma samsthavanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge. In the third chapter you will see there that paritranaya, to protect the devotees and to destroy the, annihilate the miscreants and to establish the religious dharma, religious principles, I appear time and again, he said. And whenever there is a reduction, whenever the religious principles are, whenever the religious principles are not followed, dharmam glani, that means there is a destruction of dharmam. Abhyuthanam adharmasya tadalpanam sajamiham. I appear millennium after millennium, isn't it? Krishna said this earlier to Arjuna in the third chapter. Now, seeing this form, Arjuna started thinking that what Krishna has told me like that before, is that what I am seeing now? That I am appearing like this. So, here, that, so he says here, but there Krishna said, I appear again and again, never mentioned about a form like this, a universal form like this. Here, there he said, to establish religious principle dharmam and to destroy irreligious persons, I appear again and again, he said. But here, Krishna, Arjuna is seeing, there is no dharmam, adharmam, everybody is going in. You see that? Earlier, Krishna said, to establish religious principles, dharmam, I appear again and again, paritranaya sadhu, to protect the devotees and to destroy the irreligious people. But in the universal form, what Arjuna is seeing is, there is no demon, there is no devotee, everyone, wholesome, altogether, wholesale killing going on there. So, he says, so that is why Arjuna got this doubt. Arjuna thought that, oh, only those who are following religious principles will be protected. Those who will not, others will not be protected. Sometimes devotees also think like this, isn't it? Devotees will be protected. Only demons will be killed. But when wholesale slaughter happens, there is no devotee demon. All goes in one lot. Everybody. So there is no, there will be no mercy there. It's a whole scale thing. So that is what caused this confusion in Arjuna's mind. Arjuna is asking, there you mentioned like that, and now it's happening in this way. So not only the bad people who had died, everybody died. And that was typical with the Mahabharata war. After the end of the war, there's only 4 or 5 people left. Chadu Panjava Sheshida, it says. 4 or 5 people were left. So, after Mahabharata war, millions of people fought the war and all of them were killed. Chandu Panjav Sheshida. And so just like you can see during, you know, in the Diwali and other festival seasons, children buy the crackers, isn't it? All different kinds of fireworks. They will spend a lot of money, they'll buy all that. And they will fire them all and they'll have a good time. But when it's all finished, still they want to have a little more fun. So what will they do? They'll go and look, is there anything left still, which is yet not fired yet. Sometimes it happens, isn't it? Some of these firecrackers, all of them won't burn. Some one or two may be left behind. They'll try to look for that to get a little bit more extra juice from there. So they'll try for that. Similarly, here also, here he says here that there will be one or two left. Similarly, after Mahabharata war, there were about four or five people were left, practically. Who were left here? On the Kaurava side, Ashwatthama was there, Kripa was there, Kripacharya, and Kradavarma was there. Only three left on the Kaurava side. Nobody else. Everybody else is gone. Everybody else is gone. On Pandava side, Pandavas were left, and that's it. Draupadi's children were all gone. Abhimanyu was gone. So that's it. Chadupanjava Sheshida in the Bhagavadam and Mahabharatam says four or five people were left on either side. So when all this, and this is what was going to happen, So Ashwatthama, Kripa and Kradavarma on the Kaurava side, everybody else is gone. So he was thinking, who is this person who had come and swallowed up everyone in one lot? So Arjuna is asking that question. Akhyahimeko Bhavan Ugra Rupa. Who he asked? Akhyahimeko Bhavan Ugra Rupa. Ko Bhavan, who are you? Ugra Rupa, in this form like this. Namostude Deva Vara Prasida. Please be merciful unto me. Because he was thinking that Arjuna was thinking that Krishna will be like this, the way he was his friend. And he'll be present throughout the war, and Arjuna will be fighting the war, and he'll be killing everybody, and Arjuna is going to win the war. This was all in Arjuna's head. But Krishna has removed that illusion from his head straight away, showing him this universal form, and saying to Arjuna that there will be nobody left after the war. There will be only four or five people, and all these people will be killed, and Arjuna has got a completely different experience now. Prior to the war, he is experiencing that. The death of all the people who participated in the war. Complete army of the Kauravas and complete army of the Pandavas, they were gone. So similarly, this question we have to ask. Akhyahimeko Bhavan Ugra Rupa. When the earthquake happens, we ask the question, why is the earth quaking like this? We ask the scientists, will get up straight away. If they're not gone with the earthquake, they'll be there with their machine to measure how much it is, the earthquake is, isn't it? Then they will say, oh, it's a heavy quake, 6.5 on the Richter scale or something. They'll say like that, isn't it? So what is the use knowing that after the earthquake? What good is it afterwards to know that it was 6.5 or 5.5? Does it make any difference in our life? And even now, the scientists are thinking very seriously the reason behind the earthquake. They are trying to find out, why is it happening? Why did the boom? Why did the earth has gone through this earthquake? Now, suppose you have found out the reason. Is the earth going to stop shaking, cracking, quaking again? Will it come to a stop? You have to ask this question, isn't it? Why are they cracking their head and nerves all the time to find out the reason why earthquake is happening? Suppose you have found out the reason. Will it stop quaking next time? Or will it happen again when it has to happen? It will happen again, isn't it? So, when it starts, the earthquake happens. Even the chair what they are sitting will start quaking. So, these questions are useless. So, every time when destruction like that happens, earthquake or any heavy floods, earthquake and cyclones and all these things are happening. Only thing is, Yadevi Sarvabhudeshu Buddhirubena Samstida. Namastase, 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 namo nama. That's all the answer. That in that Mother Earth also, there is that intelligence there which is operating from there. Who Krishna is present there in that Mother Earth to decide that, who what should happen. And Buddhi Rupena Samsthita, in the form of intelligence, it's present there. So, it is that same force that is working behind the earthquake, behind the cyclone, behind the drought, and behind all forces and calamities, what happens, floods, everything. It is that same force that's operating in the heads of these terrorists also. It's not a different force, it's the same force that's operating within their heads also. So, that power force that's operating in Devi Mahalpam, it says, Ya prithiviyam da andhare ya prithivi, Ya prithivi shariram prithivi andhare yashade alma andhariyami amardaha. Upanishads is also saying that somebody is sitting inside prithivi. Prithivi means earth, and is shaking the earth. When we say, don't take it as a person like that. That intelligence inside that earth, somebody is present there who has decided to shake this earth. If you do not find out that person who is doing that, instead if you ask the Mother Earth who is doing that, you won't get the answer. Scientists, that's what they are doing. They are going to the Mother Earth and asking, who is doing this? Mother Earth is keeping quiet. Then they start their experiments, research work. You won't get any answer from that. That same force, what is causing the tsunami or the earthquake or the devastating floods or cyclone, there is a force behind it. It's a brain behind it working, a force energy working behind it. It's the same force that's causing the earthquake. It's the same force that's operating through the heads of all these people who are going and killing themselves through terrorism and all kinds of things like that. So that is what it says here. Akhya hi meko bhavan yugya rupa namostude devavara prasida. So akhya hi meko bhavan yugya rupa. If you ask that question, what will happen is, like Prahlada asked Narasimha Murthy the same question, who are you? Isn't it? So at that time Narasimha Murthy moved that form and showed who he is to Prahlada. Prahlada saw, it is my Krishna who is standing there in front of me. Prahlada saw that form. It is Krishna who is standing in front of me in form of this Narasimha Murthy. Then the fear was gone from inside. Prahlada's inside, fear was completely gone. So only then the fear will go. Similarly, when we realize it, that all these things are happening, whether it is the natural disasters, terrorism or whatever it may be, when you realize is that the same super soul, Paramatma, who is present in all of them, is activating these different things. And then Shanti will come. And everything is Krishna's. Krishna is coming in front of us in different forms, isn't it? And in order to show that, Krishna has shown this frightening form. if this does not happen in our life, if this form Krishna did not show to us in front of us, we will not have any interest in Krishna consciousness. There will be absolutely no interest in, suppose you have got everything going very well, life is very organized and plenty of money, healthy and good family life, and 2-3 holidays a year, and and a good position in the society, in the social circle and everything. Will anyone think about Krishna at that time? So therefore, but it is necessary that so only when sometimes Krishna comes in a devastating form like this, you will remember Krishna. And then what will you say? Oh, I have been reading Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, and I have done everything, chanted the holy name, but Krishna has cheated me now. He's not showing any mercy. He's doing all these things to us. Why is he doing like this? Why this has happened to devotees? We ask that question. Isn't it? Always we ask that question. We should not have happened to devotees. Why did that happen to devotees? We ask that question. Isn't it? And that is, this question is Arjuna is asking here. Akhyahimego Bhavanu Greruba. This question we have to ask at that time. When such a thing happens in life, Akhyahimego Bhavanu Greruba. Because in spiritual realization, these are the proper way to cultivate spiritual life. Otherwise, simply based on our material happiness and distress, if you start developing Krishna consciousness, it will all end up in disaster at the end. One day it will go. The way it has come, it will go also one day. It won't stay. If it is based on proper understanding of Krishna, like Prabhupada explains there, isn't it? Try to understand Krishna, what Krishna is. That when you know that, as much as so-called happiness comes in this life, a lot of distress also will come in life. And when the distress comes, you should not think at that time, oh, like Prabhupada gave the example of the World War II. After World War II, Prabhupada says that when the World War became very, the last phase, it became very bitter in the sense that a lot of German soldiers were dying and they were going to lose the war. That stage was coming. And at that time, there's serious shortage of men, and the women started going to the church and praying to the Lord to protect their men who have gone to fight the war. But it was millions got killed in that war, isn't it? So when they all died, they lost the war. All these people who have praying to the going to the church and praying, they were saying that, what God? God doesn't exist. It's all a waste of time, they said, like that. This situation will happen. This situation will come. If a distress comes, very easily to take our faith away from inside. This whole faith is at the moment there, it's on the surface, everything. That's why Arjuna is saying here, Akhyahimego Bhavan Ugraruva. When he saw that Ugrarupam, that fierce form, Arjuna started seeing that everything can be swallowed up in one day, in 1 minute. Krishna wants to swallow up the whole thing. Vityadam Ichami Bhavanda Madhyam Nahi Prajanami Tava Pravrtim. He said, first of all, I want to know, Vityadam Ichami Bhavanda Madhyam, who are you? I just want to. Because Arjuna has no idea about Krishna in this way. Arjuna's knowledge of Krishna is my good friend. He'll do what I want him to do for me. And he's always with me. That's why he said, Achyuta. He said, Ratham Stavayam Achyuta. Like a taxi driver, he says to Arjuna, says to Krishna, park my chariot there so I can start the work. At that time, Arjuna is thinking, he is the one who is going to do everything. He's not ready for spiritual life at that moment. You can see, this is why in spiritual life also, till we suffer in life and get kicked a lot, only then some sense will come inside. Otherwise, externally a lot of things we may do in various ways. We will do our rounds, we will go and do Aarati, 5 times Aaratis, eat plenty of prasadam, go on Harinam, go on everything you may do in life. But to get that reality inside, because mind is external, very much in the world outside, it has never inquired who you are, who I am. And this will only happen when a lot of distress comes in life. That is normal in world. That is the way spiritual life is always been. And it will always be like that. Unless we are such a great soul, whom, well, appearance itself, it was decided we have come to preach Krishna consciousness in this world and to elevate others and things like that. That happens in once in a billion case. That may happen. But by and large, all the conditioned souls have to go through this process. It's there in the Bhagavatam, it is there in all the other Vedic literatures also, that this experience is in this world through distress. You get that impetus or motivation to genuinely inquire about the truth. Genuinely inquire about the truth. So that's why, Vijñātum Icchāmi Bhavantam Ādyam. Arjuna haven't had that experience till now. But when he saw the universal form, he started realizing, because he's experiencing it now, that everyone is going to go. So that's why he's asking, Vijñātum Icchāmi Bhavantam Ādyam. Nahi prajānāmi tava pravartyam. Nobody understands your activities. Addressing the universal form, he is saying this. Tava pravartyam. Your activities, nobody can understand, he is saying to them. So we also, sometime, like that is what is called Krishna's mercy. To bring us to that state. To experience the distress to such an extent that we will turn to Krishna seriously. Till then you won't turn to Krishna. The rest everything will go on like this in this world. We will say we are doing this, we are doing that, and so many things we will say. But at the end, if it has to happen any day, it has to happen mostly in this way only. Mostly in this way. Otherwise it's not going to happen. That's why I say Arjuna had to experience that. And when he saw the universal form, Arjuna started seeing that this is the end of it, everything. That time he woke up. That's why I say, Vijnadamichami Bhavandamadhyam Nahi Prajanami Tava Pravuttim. Your activities nobody understands, he says. We also have to say this to Krishna one day. When? When we get kicked. Only then we will say this. Till then we will say, oh Krishna, I have done so much for you. What are you doing for me? All these kind of questions will be there. We have done this. We have got this position. We have got that position. So many illusions in our head, isn't it? As far as Vedic point of view is concerned, there is nobody big in this world and there is nobody small in this world. There is nobody doing anything big in this world. There is nobody doing anything small in this world. Everyone has come to this world to finish up their prarabdha karma. That's all. Everybody is put into that square. Nobody is exception to that. We all have come. But what happens is, because of our lack of understanding Krishna consciousness properly, we start putting people in different, different blocks and saying that, oh, he was such a great devotee, he was such a poor devotee, or pure devotee, or he was a Kanishtha Adhikari, he is a Madhyama Adhikari, he is Uttama Adhikari, and all these kind of things. We say it is there in the Shastram, but that's only for us to know, to help us in our spiritual life. Thing more than that. Just like our, the famous thing, what's happening now with this Apple's boss who left his body. Now, everybody is claiming something from him. Buddhists are saying he was a Buddhist, therefore he has been successful. We are saying because he has taken prasadam, he has become successful. Like this, everybody will say something. And but whatever it may be, at the end you can see that there is an element of Krishna consciousness realization stage. Some realization in life. But when Krishna decided that he has to go, he has to go. There's no choice. Whether you are the best businessman in the world, you are the best politician in the world, nothing. That's why Shastram cuts everything at the very root. Takes the ignorance completely away and makes us aware nobody is important in this world. Nobody. Anybody in this world has come here to finish his prarabdham. He has to go through that and he has to leave the body and go from here. And all that what he has done, how many years will they be remembered? Probably a few years. After that, he is also forgotten. Isn't it? Right now, we think all this is very important, isn't it? He has won so many. He built up Apple. He bought he bought iPod, iPad, everything, and somebody else says, I paid. The father is saying, one family photo they have put, and they said, one person, I got my iPod. Somebody says, I got other one, iPad. So father sitting there, I paid, he says, for all of that. So similarly, this, it's all that much it's worth. All the iPod, I paid, everything is that much only it is worth. But Bhagavad Gita is not telling us to take all these things, those things seriously. What's important is that if we understand Krishna consciousness through Bhagavad Gita, it will help us a lot in understanding, seeing things properly. Otherwise, we won't think properly. We will see things through illusion, through our illusion maya. So, we'll stop there for the moment and we'll start again after 15 minutes.
Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare.
So, Arjuna asked a question to Krishna. What was the question? Akhya hime go bhavan ugraruva. That was the question. It's a very important question. Why this fierce form? Why like this? Akhyahimego bhavan ugraruba namostude devavara prasida vijnadum ichami bhavandamadhyam nahi prajanami tava pravartim. Actually, Arjuna was shaken seeing that form, isn't it? So, Arjuna asking this question because he had one understanding about Krishna. Krishna said earlier that yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata. I have come to establish dharmam in this world. And abhyuthanam adharmasya tadalpanam srajamyaham. Then Arjuna did not think that how Krishna will be establishing dharmam. He did not think about it. He didn't know about that, or he did not go into that. What he said was, this is what you have told me before, in the earlier chapter, yada yada hi dharmasya, just to establish religious principles, you come again and again, you will come to this world. That's what Krishna said. Krishna said earlier. And he also said, I'll protect the devotees and annihilate the demons. This was the earlier statement in the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? You remember that verse? Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya. So everybody knows these verses, isn't it? Dharma samsthavanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge. That verse you will see earlier. So those two verses, Paritranaya sadhunam and yada yada hi dharmasya. This was in Arjuna's mind. And now when he saw that in the universal form, whether devotee, demon, nothing, no consideration at all, everybody is going in through the mouths. And Arjuna, Bhishma, Drona, Karna, Kripa, Drushtadyumna, everybody is taken inside and swallowed up by Krishna's universal form. After seeing that, Arjuna is asking this question, Akya himego bhavanugya rupa. Why this fiery form, this fierce form? And who are you? Who are you? Namostudeva, vidyadu michami. I would like to know who you are. Vichyadu michami bhavanda madhyam, nahi prajanami tava pravartim. Nobody understands your activities, your way, how you deal with the situations. You don't understand. Deva devanam, pradhana prasida prasadam kuru. Vichyadu michami bhavanda madhyam, alo bhav madhyam nahi. Yasmat prajanami tava tudiyam pravartim cheshtam. So the reply for that is what Krishna is going to speak from now on. The reply to that question, very important question. Yeah. So in the beginning we have mentioned that also, that everybody wants to be happy, isn't it? Kshemam, welfare. Everyone wants to be happy in this world. Happy means atyandiyam. That is what it is called. Atyandiyam means ultimate happiness. That's what everyone is looking for in this world. We don't want this kind of happiness which is continuously disturbed. One day happy, next day full of misery, next day again happy, next day again misery. So because of that, what has happened is we started doubting, is this real happiness what we are getting here? That's how we start thinking about it, isn't it? Say for example, one day you became very happy. You won the lottery or got £1 million or something like that. The very next day, the whole £1 million somebody stole from you, or the bank where you put the money has gone bust. So one day you are happy, the next day you are totally unhappy with what happened. So if this is the kind of happiness what is referring to, that is not accepted in the Bhagavad Gita. Because that's the kind of happiness we are experienced with. We are experienced to this kind of happiness. But that is not what we require. What is required is shanti, isn't it? Atyandiya kshemam. It says in the Bhagavatam, you will notice there, that when Kavi Maharshi spoke about that, tadaparam shanti mupayati sakshal, that shanti is the goal, not the excitement of happiness and distress. That's not the goal. So because shanti is the nature of the soul. Nature of the soul is shanti. Atma's nature, surupam is shanti. And shanti is perfection. Purna anubhavam it is. Purna anubhavam means it's complete. It's not something which comes and goes or goes up and down. It is stable always. So this Purna Anubhavam or the Shanti, you don't have to look for anywhere. Look for anywhere Shanti, because our nature, by nature we are in Shanti. That means by nature of the soul is always in Shanti. Then why we have all this problem? I will come to that later. But if you just accept it, that's enough for the moment. That shanti is the nature of the soul. Shanti is the nature of the soul. That shanti is addressed in another form as anandam, which is anandam or bliss, as we say in English, isn't it? The blissful nature of the soul. So shanti, the beauty of shanti is, or the bliss or anandam is, you can't take away something from that and bring it down, or you cannot add something and bring it up. Whereas in sukham, in happiness, you can do that, isn't it? So you can understand what I'm saying. What you experience through the senses, depending on, if I give you a lot of sense enjoyment, you can increase your sense enjoyment and happiness from the senses. Similarly, if you say, if I only give you khichdi, you will be less happy. But if you give you khichdi and a big feast, you'll be more happy, isn't it? So it varies according to the sense enjoyment, sensual happiness. Based on that, the happiness also changes. That is a difference between shanti and sukham. Sukham keeps changing according to the sense gratification. Shanti is not like that. Shanti is always stable. It doesn't increase, it doesn't decrease either. That is the nature. And when you are in shanti state, everybody has shanti at some time in life, maybe experiencing for a very short period of time. But you can notice this, that when you are in shanti state, you are completely satisfied. Completely satisfied. Two ways. One, no desires building up and no chitavrti happening inside. These are all the symptoms of shanti. No desires coming up inside. I want this, I want that. All kinds of desires are not a symptom of shanti. Nor a lot of chitavrti. Thoughts about various things in this world. And continuously absorbed in the head with that. That is not a symptom of shanti. So, everybody in the middle of distress, they get a little shanti. You can observe that. This you have to look at yourself and say, in all kinds of, everybody explain, because if you do not have shanti, you won't be able to live in this world. That's the nature of the shanti. See, sometimes some great distress comes, and then that distress passes through. After a while, you lose that. You don't experience that distress in the same intensity as you felt the first time. Suppose somebody close to you died, very close to you, left this body. Say, husband died, wife died, something happened in life. Immediately after the death, you're completely lost, isn't it? But as much as time passed through, that separation also gets accepted inside and you feel a certain peace with the life. Peace with the life. So, why is that? That shanti is there inside. It is because of the shanti in the soul that you are able to come to terms with that separation. Able to come to terms with that separation. So, in the middle of all the distress also, there is a shanti inside. It is that shanti that keeps that life going again. So, if not, otherwise you can't live in this world. So, because there is a little bit of shanti in life, that's why we are able to live in this world today. We are still living in this world because there is a little bit of shanti in life. But this shanti doesn't stay. It comes and goes. It comes and goes in the sense that it is a kind of shanti that you are experiencing. Although I mentioned before that shanti in its full, you can't take it out or take it away from you. But there is a little experience of that. That is why in perfection of shanti when it comes in the samadhi state, in the realized state. So, and that is addressed in different ways. You call it shanti, samadhi, satshatkaram. These are atma-satshatkaram. These are different words used to explain the same state of consciousness, in other words. So, it is in that state, it is then that when you lose your false ego inside, it is when that you experience that complete shanti. Complete shanti you experience when the false ego is completely taken out from inside. So the question here is, how do I reach that state of shanti? How do I reach that state of shanti? And because we don't have the shanti, that is why we are sitting and listening to Bhagavad Gita. We are sitting and listening to Bhagavad Gita. So it does not mean that you have not come to hear Bhagavad Gita here. They've all got shanti inside. That's not what it means. Don't misunderstand that way. We are sitting and listening to Bhagavad Gita because there is no shanti inside. That does not mean those who have not come to hear Bhagavad Gita, they are all in perfect shanti outside. That's not what it means. Yeah. So, suppose somebody has been listening to Bhagavad Gita for a very long period of time and one day he stopped coming. If it happens, it is a great thing. Why? Because it means he's got shanti inside. He's got Shanti inside. So because he has got it, what he has to get it. Because that is Bhagavad Gita's goal, to bring you to that state of consciousness. Why? He has come to that firm state where his mind doesn't move anymore. This movement is the cause of the problem. When you are fixed in that state, that is what, you see, in Bhagavad Gita they'll use different words for that. Sthidapragnato, they call it. Sthidapragnato means that Shanti state, isn't it? Sthidapragnasya ka bhasha samadhistasya keshava. Question. Another place, Krishna will say, he is a jnani. Another place, Krishna will say, he is a yogi. Another place, Krishna will say, he is a gunatitan, who has gone beyond the three modes of material nature. And another place, Krishna will say, he is Shraddhatraya Vibhagam. There is a chapter there. Gunatraya Vibhagam, Shraddhatraya Vibhagam. Three kinds of Shraddha discussed there. One who has gone beyond that. That state is explained in the Bhagavad Gita. Yogi, Jnani, Bhakta, Devotee, or Sthidapragnatvam, or Karma Yogi, whichever way you want to address, these are all different names. In reality, it is that person who has gone beyond this body. Who has gone beyond this body and not experiencing any miseries of this material existence. He is beyond that this body. So, in other words, he has got it. So, somebody asked this question, how do I get that realization? So, is it that happens that I go to the spiritual master and I get the answer from him and then I will experience that spiritual experience of the soul? It is then that you will receive that Shanti. That was the question. So, one day, Mahatma was sitting like this and somebody went up to him and he was not giving any attention to anybody. He had a book in his hand and he was looking at that book. And there were many people were sitting in the hall looking at him. And at that time, a sannyasi walked in. And this sannyasi was very matured in sannyasa ashram. Matured means good realization, good knowledge. Jnanam sannyasa lakshanam. Symptom of sannyasam is knowledge. Not all the money what you have made or all the disciples you have made. That's not sannyasa's quality. Sannyasam is based on this principle. Jnanam sannyasa lakshanam. I explained that many times before. Knowledge and realization is sannyasam. Knowledge and realization is sannyasam. So sannyasam, he was sitting there. So when this sannyasi walked in, this Mahatma put his book down there. And the sannyasi stood there and looked at him. Looked at him for some time. And by the look itself, this Mahatma gave the impression to him that I have been waiting for you to come for so long. Why have you been so late? In such a way, the look itself, he understood from that. So both of them looked at each other and for 5 minutes or so. And then Mahatma took the book and started reading it. As though nothing has happened. And the sannyasi who came there, he also sat there and looking at him for a couple of hours. He sat there looking at him. In the middle of all that, other devotees were sitting there. In the ashram, the bell rang and they all wanted to go for prasadam. So they all got up and left for prasadam. This Mahatma sat there and our sannyasi also sat there. So everybody went for the prasadam and so many people were present there and when they all came back, they saw this sannyasi was still sitting there in a very samadhi state. Dhyanavasthi sadgadena manasa. Bhagavadam says that dhyanavastha. Dhyanavastha means that due to realization, when someone is very fixed on the truth, that's a state of meditation. This happens to people who are very internalized things. Not external, who are very internal in their consciousness, very much reflective nature, or who are very deep in their realizations. Only such people have that experience. Dhyanavasthi tadgadayena manasa pashyandeyam yogino, Bhagavadam says. In the last words in the Bhagavadam, you will notice that statement. That dhyanavastha. So here, this sannyasi sat there And the Mahatma was sitting on his chair, and they didn't talk to each other for one word. And after that, after a couple of hours, Sannyasi got up and left. And Mahatma didn't ask any question. So, because it is not among the jnanis, among the realized souls, they don't talk very much. They don't talk very much. Because without talking, they can understand each other. They can understand each other. There was one famous guru, a Narayana guru, he was called. He came to see one Maharshi in the ashram like this. And when he came, you have to remember, this was, we are talking about in the middle of last 1930-1940, that time period in life. Yeah? So Narayana guru came to see Ramana Maharshi. And Narayana Guru himself was a very advanced person, spiritually very realized. And what to talk about, Ramana Maharshi was also highly elevated and fully realized soul. So Narayana Guru comes to see Ramana Maharshi because his disciples, Narayana Guru's disciples, wanted to come and see him. They wanted to go and see Ramana Maharshi in Trinavalai. So when he came to see him, Ramana Maharshi was sitting there. Narayana Guru came and looked at him. Ramana Maharshi didn't say one word to him. Narayana Guru also didn't say anything. Only when it was time for lunch time, Ramana Maharshi asked him, "Do you have any problem in taking prasadam with us?" There was a reason he was asking was that in them days, Ramana Maharshi came from a very higher family in the Varnashramadharma, from a Brahminical culture, that too from a very higher level. He had come from that background. Narayana Guru came from a very lower status in life. So because this Varnashramadharma was existing at that time, naturally there will be always differences. But knowing well that Narayana Guru would not have any objection in taking prasadam with them, he invited him, and they both went and took prasadam, and they came back and sat there. Didn't have any conversation. After a few hours, Narayana Guru got up and with his disciples he left. So while he was sitting there, seeing Ramana Maharshi's state of consciousness, he writes a poem. They're all experts in writing poetry, and they had the good knowledge of the Shastram as well. So he wrote Narayana Guru's famous verses, 5 verses. He sat there and compiled about Ramana Maharshi. He sits there. It is called Nirvruti Panchakam. Nirvruti Panchakam means a liberated state, seeing a person in a liberated state without any movement inside. Normally, how does the mind move? When we meet somebody, immediately what happens? This conversation happens. When conversation happens, what starts then? Ragadvesham builds up from there. He says something you like or you don't like, accordingly you will react to that. Vasanas builds up inside, isn't it? And it is very difficult in the Vyavaharam particularly. Vyavaharam means in the transactions in this world, not to create vasanas inside. It will always be there, isn't it? As long as there is Vyavaharam, there will be vasanas inside. So here also, Narayana Guru is saying about Ramana Maharshi, in that Nirvruti Panchakam he says there, his absolutely no movement of the mind. Never asked anybody where he is coming from. He says here, Ko nama desha ka jadi? Where have you come from? They are coming from 2 different locations, far away places. Ko nama? What's your name? Never asked. Where are you coming from? Never asked that question. What is the caste? Because those days it was acceptable to ask that question. Today, if you ask, they'll put you in the prison. For them days, it was considered good to know which caste everybody belonged to. It was acceptable them days. Now everything is so twisted, the whole thing, and people started questioning. It's because of that all the problems have come. They say like that, but caste is everywhere. Where is there's no caste? There's caste. If you only travel in the train, one person is the first class, one person is second class. Is there no caste there? They are not equal, are they? So here the caste is based on money, there the caste is based on some other principle, that's all. Caste is there. So the differences have come in some form or the other, in every society it will happen. So he wrote there, Ko nama desha ka jadi, pravrti ka kiyadvaya. that what is your, what's your work, what do you do, anything. Ityadi vado brother, yasyata seva nirvrati. That without any of these questions, he was situated in that state, never asked any question to anyone about anything. About anything. So, similarly, when he arrived there, he looked through the window and he saw the Maharshi was sitting inside and never had any other discussions. And he wrote an important point there was, Agacha magacha pravishya kunu gacchasi. When did you come and when would you like to go? And all these kind of normal conversations, what you will normally communicate with people, yasyata seva narukriti. He was not at all affected by any of these things. And after the meal, they came back and then Maharshi got up and went for a walk. For a few miles, he went for a walk, never asked any question. So, normally you can imagine, in your household life or somebody comes to your house, if you don't speak one word, you'll be considered very rude, isn't it? You'll be considered very rude. And or you will try to keep the guest very happy by asking such things or things like that. That is laugiyam. Laugiyam means materialism. Materialistic nature, that is. Only a realized soul doesn't come to that level. And you won't get offended by that when they do that. They're not doing it to you. They do it to everyone. But their state of consciousness is so high that when you go there, you experience that shanti in their presence. So you don't get offended by that in their presence. You don't feel offended by it. Aham to so yada bahirastiva nastiva ityadi vado brother yasita seva nirvati. So these five verses what he wrote about that, he understood that Maharshi's stage was such, the mind, there is no movement inside. There is no movement inside. In other words, when you see someone or when you have any interaction with anyone, normally what's happening is, it will definitely create some ragadvesham inside, which means some vasana will be created inside a person. All of us will have some vasana, will be created inside, as long as you have an interaction with someone. But a realized soul, because he has gone beyond, he is not seeing you or he does not have any ragadvesham for you in any form, and he is conscious of Krishna's presence inside. This is a big topic because this is the same topic that is coming now in the next many chapters. How these vasanas create ragadvesham? It's all in a subtle level Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna puts that these are the qualities for the realized soul and these are the qualities for the this is jnanam and this is ajnanam. That's all he has said in the Bhagavad Gita. If you look in the Bhagavad Gita, you will see this. Amanitvam, adambitvam, ahimsa, kshanti, arjavam, acharyobhasanam, shaujam, sthairyam, alpavinigraha, indriyartheshu, vairagyam, anahangaram, evacha, janma, mrityu, jara, vyadi, dukha, doshana, darshanam, asakti, anabhishanga, putra, dara, grihadishu, nityanja, samachitattvam, ishta, anishtopapattishu. Then Krishna said all these things and he says, maija ananya yogena bhakti avyabhijarini vivikta desha sevitvam aradir jana samsadi. Then he says, adhyatma jnana nityatvam tattva jnanartha darshanam edal jnanam idi proktam ajnanam tadananyade. So after saying all these things, Krishna is saying there, all these things I have spoken to you, this is all jnanam. Or what is not these things, opposite to all this, is ajnanam. Krishna puts it, that's all in the Bhagavad Gita. If you read that, you may think, oh, amazing qualities all this, isn't it? But how do I get them? This question will naturally come when you see, read these qualities, isn't it? How do I get them? All these qualities will come. So, first thing is, before we study these qualities, you have to really understand what that quality means, isn't it? Otherwise, it won't make any sense. For example, amanitum adambitum. The translation is humility, amanitum. And adambitum is pridelessness. So you will say, what should I do now to become humble? That's why this question comes, how do I become humble? And how do I, pridelessness, how do I get free from pride? If you ask that question, there is no answer to that. If you understand what humility means, because these are qualities connected to the spirit soul, you have to understand that. When self-realization happens, all these qualities are there in him. It's all linked with the self-realization. If you leave self-realization out and try to develop these qualities, it won't work. This is the important point. You see, this is very important, that they are linked to self-realization. That means only on the spiritual platform you will have those qualities. If you go after courses and seminars, you won't get them. It's not possible, because it is connected with self-realization. When there is self-realization, without anybody telling you, you will see all these qualities in a person. So, the reason why Krishna has put them there is that if you do get to see someone who is spiritually realized, you will see these qualities in that person. Not for you to individually cultivate these qualities is not possible. This is the important thing. So when you read Bhagavad Gita, this is the problem studying the book. When you study the book, you will read it and think, oh, this, how many are there total? I make a list, bullet points, everything. And then let me try one at a time and try to cut. It won't work. It simply won't work. It's not possible. That is the subtlety of Bhagavad Gita, you see. That's the subtlety of Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita, you can't study like a textbook, like physics or chemistry, where you can highlight with your marker and say these things are important. If you can't do that with Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is a science of the soul. That means all the qualities you will see, if you get to know a Mahatma one day, and if you see that Mahatma, you will see that all these qualities are present in him. All that qualities you will see in that Mahatma. And then you will know what self-realization means. That is the secret behind that. So, why I was saying all these things was that anytime, this is a very subtle things in Krishna's put it in through few words, that's all. Arjuna understood everything. Why? Krishna is standing there next to him and telling him. So it was easy for him to understand. But for us to understand, ordinary conditioned people like us to understand, we need the help of those who are realized and who have spoken about it through their commentaries. Acharyas have done that and try to explain to us. And through proper reflection, you will get to know what it all means at the end. Otherwise, you will never come to know. You'll keep on reading all the qualities. People, devotees always do that, isn't it? 26 qualities of the devotees. We study them and we get Bhakti Shastri title or something and write the exam. That's all very nice. That's okay. It's necessary in one level to begin with. But if you stay there with these 26 qualities memory in the memory, it's no use. It's there. Unless the 26 qualities get seen, it happens to us, which means it will only happen when those realization happens to us, self-realization. It is with realization all these qualities comes to that person. So, therefore, while meeting people, also, this is important point, why these things should be avoided in spiritual life. Though, if you inquire from people, welfare, without giving any importance to the personality, vyaktitvam, there, then then those questions won't cause problems. Do you get the point? Without touching the personality, without giving any importance to personality, and if you ask questions, it won't do any harm. But because the understanding is, from spiritual point of view, everyone is a spirit soul, isn't it? When we are inquiring the welfare of someone, so just like we do, how are you, we ask, the person will say, I'm fine. Or somebody will say, I'm miserable, or whatever, mostly, or I'm getting on, or whatever this says, right? All this has no meaning, really. From a spiritual platform, absolutely no meaning. You're asking something, if he says to you something that, okay, I've got all this problem, what happens immediately? There's a reaction inside you. Inside, that is more important than what's happening to him. What's that impact on you? Say, he says to you that my son is not listening, wife is not listening, she's quarreling, arguing with me, this, that and the other. You start thinking, oh, this is terrible. You also feel it, isn't it? You also feel it. And you can't go move away from there without having some impact on yourself. Is it not? Everybody knows that. Suppose you ask someone about his life and he told you his misery in life. What is the result? Result is that either he has depressed you, or he has also made you feel a little bit bad about it. You feel the misery, what that person is going through. He will say, I'm sharing with you. But the sharing is not always good. Some places it's okay. The good things is nice to share. But all the miseries, if I start sharing with everybody in the world, make everybody miserable. That's all at the end, isn't it? There's nothing else will gain from that. So this thinking is that, so for vyavaharam, for transactions in this world, you can ask some questions, but if you ask more than that, you will go be outside the track. What will happen is, it will create emotions inside. Many different kinds of emotions will be created inside. Because normally in our conversations, these are things we have to take notice of. Suppose we meet someone new first time and we started conversing with him. If you ask questions in such a way without touching this side, that's fine. That is fine. Otherwise, some people, even without you asking, they'll tell you everything. What's going through their life. So when you are asking the question, if you have not asked the question carefully, in a proper way, they will create such unnecessary emotions of excitement or anxiety or any kind of feelings inside, which will be created inside. So that is why Narayana Guru says about that in the Rugrati Panchakam, when he wrote, you can download all these things, it's all on the web, the translations, everything. That way they talk to each other. They're both jnanis, both are realized. And he's saying that he hasn't inquired anything, never asked anything about it. Amazing situation, realization that is. Why? Because it is in that state, he's situated on the platform of the soul. Normally, those who are situated on the platform of the mind, they will inquire everything, isn't it? They will inquire everything in this world. And they will think, they'll give you an impression that they are so concerned about your welfare. That's why they're asking all the questions like that. In Vyavaharam, all these things happen. In all over the world, this is the same thing. It's not much different. So, sometimes you can experience this while not so much here, because everybody is busy here so much. In India, when you travel in the train, sometimes long train journeys you have. That means, say, 32, 36 hours, 48 hours from Kashmir to Kanyakumari, if you travel in the train. You sit in the train, and then you know you're going to spend a couple of days with that person in the train, and conversation starts straight away. Huh? He'll ask you, say to me, Mom, come from Kerala. Where in Kerala are you coming from? You say, I'm coming from Palakkad. Ah, Palakkad. Oh, I see. Where in Palakkad? You tell him, I'm coming from such and such an area. Ah, yeah. My neighbor's, his daughter is married to somebody. The conversation will start like this. You can see. Whole conversation. And then because you feel that from Kashmir right to Kanyakumari, you have to talk. Only you will stop talking in the night when you go into the berth, into 2-tire or 3-tire and sleep. And as soon as you get up in the morning, again the conversation starts. So all this is in the laugigam. Laugigam means in the materialistic life. This is how we live our life. In spiritual life, because they have gone beyond this kind of inquiry about the body, you can talk about various people from the family side and from friends. Somebody is married there and their daughters, their children is there. So many things it can make a fabricate a big story out of the whole thing, isn't it? So this is all laugigam. This is all laugiyam. So none of these things, he says, I didn't experience from Rama Maharshi. Rama Maharshi was situated in that state of consciousness all of this time. So, and they looked at each other, and that is it. That's all. So, Brahmavidya, there the conversation is between heart to heart, not to the mind. It's from heart to heart. In other words, in two personalities who are realized, there is nothing that is separating them between the two. Because on the platform of the soul, Brahman realization, when it happens, there is nothing that, they are in the realized state and they have nothing to ask each other. They don't have to inquire about the body, welfare or anything like that. That is why So, so that is why when heart is talking to another heart, actually language is an obstacle. Language is necessary when you are communicating materialistic thoughts. When you are communicating materialistic thoughts, you need language. When you transfer, when you communicate from spiritual level, you don't need language. Language is an obstruction. It's a block actually. That is why you will see in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the whole Bhagavatam begins, Tene Brahma Hridaya. From Krishna's heart to Brahma's heart. No communication of the through the language. Tene Brahma Hridaya. Adikavaye Mukhyandiyat Suraya. You remember that voice in the beginning of the Bhagavatam? That is that transmission happens like that. That from heart, the message is transmitted to Brahma's heart. Brahma Hrida, that is why specifically it is spoken like that. Tene Brahma Hridaya Adigavaye Mukhyandiyat Suraya. When you read Srimad Bhagavatam, you have to look into all these things. Otherwise, simply if you think that Krishna has taken with him all the everything and the four verses, what is Chalishlogi Bhagavatam, and printed and gave a copy or a CD to Brahma, now you can play this and hear that. No, that kind of transmission doesn't help in spiritual life. Spiritual life transmission is from heart to heart, from heart to heart. So that is why Satyam Bharam Dhimahi, isn't it? So Brahma Satyam, Satyam Bharam Dhimahi, that Satyam is the subject that is spoken about there. So Satyam, that Parama Satyam, that Brahma Satyam is transmitted in that way from the spiritual master to the disciple always. Always it is transmitted like that. The proper transmission of the spiritual realization happens in that way. That is the way it has to happen. You will notice this in the great of all, in the case of all the great, great personalities. This is how this transmission has happened. This transmission has happened. Tene Brahma. So, similarly, Krishna gave this realization to Brahma at the time of creation. So there, Tene Brahma Hraya Adigavaye, he said. From heart to heart, this knowledge was this transmitted. Words were not required. This is the proper way how the transmission can happen. That is why in the Bhagavad Gita, you will notice that Ascharyaval, in the Kathopanishad, that verse comes, isn't it? You know that verse in the Kathopanishad, which it says, Kaschidenam, it is in the Kathopanishad. Kathopanishad says there that it is the most amazing thing, he says there. Of course, when you read those verses, you may wonder why is spoken like this, these verses. The whole language of the verses is a sort of a dramatic expression. Krishna is saying here, Ascharyavat Pashyadi Kaschidenam. Let's see, look at that verse number. Bhagavad Gita is the important thing is in the Kathopanishad, it is a little bit more specific about it. If you look at that verse in the Kathopanishad, Ascharyaval Kushalasya Labdha, not getting that beginning of that verse. Let me have a look. Thank you. Sharvanayabi Bahubir Yona Labhyaha. Sharvanayabi Bahubir No Labhyaha. Shurnandovi Bahavo Yamna Vidyu. Ashuryavakta Kushalasya Labdha. Ashuryotnyada Kushalana Shushta. Let's look at that verse. The same verse has come to Bhagavad Gita also, with a slight difference, a little difference. Here, the sage, Yama is saying this. This is from Yama to Nachiketas. Yama talks to Nachiketas. It's that's where this conversation is coming. So he says here, Shravanayabhi Bahubir Yona Labhyaha. You heard it many times, but you didn't get it. You heard it many times, but you didn't get it. Our situation is like that now. You have heard it all this, but you haven't got it yet. Isn't it? Realization is not there, in other words. Sharanayabhi Bahubir. Many times you have heard that. It's not the first time you are hearing Bhagavad Gita. You have heard so many times Bhagavad Gita. How many years you have been hearing Bhagavad Gita now? 10 years, 15 years, 20 years? But Yona Labhyaha. Didn't get it. That is why I'm saying that Satyambaram Dhimahi, when Yam Tene Brahma Hridaya, when Krishna gave it to Brahma, he got it. That's the difference. Tene Brahma Hridaya. It got transmitted to the other heart. So the transmission is from heart to heart. That's what I am saying this. If you hear Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, through the mind and intelligence, it will not work. It's not meant to be like that. Yeah? It's not meant to be like that. And what's happening is, most of us, what we are doing is, we are trying and using our mind and intelligence thinking, what is this Krishna is saying here? And trying to understand with the mind. But it is not with the mind and intelligence you understand Bhagavad Gita. It is on a peculiar platform without the mind and intelligence that you will understand Bhagavad Gita. This is called a satsangam. Satsangam means what's happening there is that you are not getting absorbed with your mind intelligence. All chittavritti is stopped, just listening, and it is possible that sometimes that inside Krishna, when he decides to react to it, because he is present inside, it is he who is listening. And we are talking about Krishna inside, isn't it? The soul is Krishna inside. We are talking about him. So mind and intelligence cannot discuss that topic. The only response has to come from the soul. That is why it says here, Sharvanayabhi Bahubir Yona Labhyaha. You have heard all this many, many times, but you heard it through the mind and intelligence, therefore you didn't get it. That's the point. Then, Shurnandobi Bahavo Yamna Vidyu. Some people, they have Shurnandobi. Sharanayabi Bahubir, many times heard, but they didn't hear anything. Practically nothing has happened, in other words. And some people, they say they have heard it, but nothing happened, even then. Shurnandobi Bahubir Yamna Vidyu. They didn't have got it still. They say they have heard it. Then, Ashcharya Vakta Kushalosya Labdha. The speaker who has got it, who is speaking, is amazing, he says. Ashcharya Vaktaha. And even by Kushalosya Labdha. And somebody who has heard, and if he has got it, that's also a wonderful thing. This is how spiritual knowledge works. Otherwise, realization won't happen. Simply studying books and verses, memorizing and talking about it is no use. There must be some impact inside us that this soul, what we are talking about, is the most important subject in this world, isn't it? About the soul. And if there is no spiritual impact in us, what is the use of all of these things? Like physics and chemistry, another subject I have studied, Bhagavad Gita. and what's the use? So that's why these verses are so important. Ashcharya Vakta Kushalosya Labdhaha. If a person has spoken properly from that platform, and if a person has heard that without any impact of the mind or intelligence, and the person who has spoken, and if he has got it, and the person who has heard it, and if he has got it, Ashcharya Jnada Kushalana Shishtam. Wonderful is he who knows under the instruction of an adept. In other words, that is the only thing that is worthwhile, he is saying here. So, from these words, you can see that why Srimad Bhagavatam says, Tene Brahma Hridaya. It has to be from Hridayam to Hridayam. It didn't say that Krishna spoke from his mouth and Brahma heard through his 8 ears he has got. Isn't it? 4 heads. So he's got 8 ears. Through 8 ears he heard Bhagavatam. He never said like that. It said, Tene Brahma Hridaya. You will see sometimes sometimes picture drawn from heart of Krishna to Brahma's heart. That is because of this. Tene Brahma Hridaya. From heart to heart it has to happen. It cannot happen otherwise. It cannot happen otherwise. That's why this verse, Shanayavi Bahubir Yona Labhya, Shrunandobi Bahubir Yanna Vidyu, Ashwaryo Vakta Kushalasya Labdha, Ashwaryo Jnada Kushalani Shishta. If he has got it, the disciple or the listener, if he has got it, then he is clever, he says. He's clever, he's got it, because he's got the right thing. And similarly, the person who has spoken, and if he has managed to get it into him, he is also clever, he says. Clever means that he is he is the right person who is doing the right job, and the person who is listening is the right person who is listening it. And this is the same verse you can see in the Bhagavad Gita, that verse, isn't it? What does it say about, what is that verse? Ashadyaval Pashyadi Kashchidenam. Then? Ashadyaval Anaina Chanyam. Chanyam. Then? Yes.
What? The other verse is in that translation as well. 229. 229? So the verse from Katha Upanishad is in there as well.
Yes. One second. 229, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, Prabhupada has put it in the purport. Yeah. For the purport, he has put that actually. Ashcharyaval Pashyadi Kashchidenam Ashcharyaval Vadati Tathaiva Chanyam. Actually, this verse from Kathopanishad, Krishna has taken and put it in the Bhagavad Gita. That's how it is. Because this verse is from Kathopanishad and it is much before Bhagavad Gita has spoken to Arjuna. So, it is, message is the same, it's not different. But Krishna has to put in his own language to Arjuna. Here, Ashcharyaval Vadati Tathaiva Chanyam Ashcharyaval Chainam Anishranodi Shutva Penam Vedanas Chaiva Kaschir. You can see the translation. Some book look on the soul as amazing, some describe him as amazing, and some hear of him as amazing, while others, even after hearing about him, cannot understand him at all. Isn't it? So, if you read this verse, and if you read the translation, you will start thinking, what is so amazing about it? You'll ask that question. You can ask that question, can't you? You can ask that question, what's so amazing about it? If you ask that question, so that is where you need this understanding, how it was transmitted, the nature of spiritual life, the beauty of spirit soul, the transmission, how it happens, how it works. Similarly, all those qualities in the 13th chapter, not only 13th chapter, it comes again many times later. In the 12th chapter, Bhakti Yogam, Krishna talks about a lot of qualities about a devotee, isn't it? Devotee's quality. In the 13th chapter, what Krishna does is, Krishna gives a list of qualities there, that is Amanitam Adambitam. I think it is in the 13th chapter. 13.8. So, there, you can see there, just a minute. It's in the beginning of that chapter. Amanitam Adambitam, 8-12. Yeah. 8 to 12, humility, pridelessness, non-violence, tolerance, simplicity, approaching a bona fide spiritual master, cleanliness, steadiness and self-control, renunciation of the objects of sense gratification, absence of false ego, perception of the evil of birth, death, old age and disease, non-attachment to children, wife, home and the rest, and even-mindedness amid pleasant and unpleasant events, constant and unalloyed devotion to me, resorting to solitary places, detachment from the general mass of people, serving, accepting the importance of self-realization, and philosophical search for the absolute truth, all these I thus declare to be knowledge, And what is contrary to this is ignorance. And you can see Prabhupada has given a very long purport also, few pages, to talk about each of these qualities, what they are, what these qualities are, isn't it? So, the point is that when we read these qualities in the Bhagavad Gita, naturally it is pointing out to us This will be a person, will have these qualities if he is realized. If he is realized. And that is the most important thing. We shouldn't think that, how many of these qualities I have got? How much percentage have I got? If I start making a list, then you won't get anywhere. It's not going to get anywhere. So, anyway, that is the important point. So here, going back to this chapter, we're talking about the, So, we are talking about transmission, isn't it? Mm-hmm. So, here, Ashanivant Kushalasya Labdha, that is what we are discussing. So, this language of the heart is not very easy to understand. It's not very easy to understand. So, normally among realized souls, there will be no discussion at all. There is never any discussion at all. But from a spiritual master to disciple, it's a different relationship there. He has to come down from his state to talk about something to the disciple. He has to come down to that particular state. Only then. But the first state is in that silence. But later on, certain things will be understood. And at the same time, the in question stage comes then. That is when the disciple can ask a question. It's not that completely forbidden asking questions. It's not forbidden. Asking questions is allowed. But before asking questions, there are says to have certain realizations inside, in the heart. All these preliminary things must be clear inside. Only after that question should start. Nowadays what's happening is, suppose you meet somebody in the corridor, you say, I have a question for you. Come here for a minute. This is like, I have questions. This is not asking questions. This is this is not the way. I'm saying that first of all, that you have to know, grow inside yourself and understand what is spiritual life means. And all these preliminary things should be clear inside. That you ask questions about such things after the basics are clear inside. Otherwise it will cause, it will not help very much the situation. Here also, therefore initially it's all silence. It's all silence. Now if Narayana Guru has to ask any questions from Ramana Maharshi, the questions what he would be asking will not be in the same level like the way we are asking questions. For them, both of them are in that state, they can still ask questions each other. They can ask questions. But those questions will be completely in the path of form of realization. In the realized state, they are asking that questions, which will be different. So, so this is what's happening to Arjuna also here. Arjuna is also asking, if you want to find this out, this difference, you have to look into Bhagavatam. In the Bhagavatam, Krishna has got two types of devotees. Have you looked? Very next to each other, they have put it in the Bhagavatam. One, the gopis. And the other one, the wives of the Brahmana. Wives of the Brahmana. We spoke about this before. I'm sure you may remember this. What was the difference between the two? Both are women. And both are attracted by Krishna. But the way they were attracted were two different ways. The gopis were attracted by external beauty of Krishna, isn't it? Simply by gopis had no knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, anything like that. They never heard anything before. They simply got attracted to Krishna's beauty, and in that process, they completely got absorbed in Krishna. Gopya kama, Bhagavatam says, through kamam, they got attracted to Krishna. Wives of the Brahmanas, Vipravatni, they didn't get attracted to Krishna in that way. How did they get attracted to? From their husband. They had a lot of knowledge, the wives of the Brahmanas. Why? The Brahmanas were usually discussing Shastram at home. They have heard Shastram at home from the Brahmanas. And they had clear in their head understanding that self-realization and freedom from this cycle of birth and death is important. All this was known to the wives of the Brahmanas. Gopis had no clue what they were to do. They were simply carried away by the beauty, Krishna's beauty. But Krishna decided to give them the mercy anyway. So, when the gopis came to Krishna, Krishna had to take them through all the steps and eventually give that knowledge to them, to the gopis. Krishna had to give that. Finally, you will see, very, very later, much later, after Krishna left Vrindavanam, everything, it was in Kurukshetram later on, in the Samandamanchakam, when the gopis met Krishna, Krishna talks to them about knowledge, spiritual knowledge, Shastram. He talks to them. Till now, no discussion about Shastram, serious Shastram. Okay, Uddhava was sent there with some instructions to give knowledge of Shastram to the gopis. You will notice that in the 47th chapter, in the 10th canto. But you can see there, gopis also opened their eyes when Krishna started speaking the Shastram to them. What is about Brahmavidya, spiritual realization. So that happened at the very end. Yeah. Now, what has happened here is, wives of the Brahmanas, there was no such discussion. They came, they saw Krishna. Krishna told them, you go home, everything is clear. Whereas with gopis, Krishna had to spend a long time, 12 long years in Vrindavanam, before gopis have come to that, from Tamogunam, they had to come to Satogunam, and Satogunam, then the knowledge, and then the realization at the end. It has happened after a long period of time. With the wives of the Brahmanas, there was no such contract. They came, because as soon as they heard Krishna and Balaram is there, they understood who had come. Why? Because of the knowledge of the Shastra. That has helped them to know who they are. Whereas gopis didn't know who their Krishna and Balaram were. Whereas with wives of the Brahmanas, they immediately knew who Krishna and Balaram is. So what did they do? What their husbands did not do, they did for Krishna and Balaram, didn't they? They immediately cooked plenty of prasadam, brought them. As soon as they heard that Krishna and Balaram is hungry, cowherd men are hungry, gopas are hungry, they are all want prasadam. Immediately they cooked prasadam without even asking any permission from their husbands. They took everything, pots on their heads, and started walking towards Krishna. And they came, they served prasadam, Krishna ate everything and told them, you go back now. There's nothing to discuss, no instructions at all. Just told them, you go back. And they all went back to the spiritual world later. That you can see later in the Bhagavatam, you will see that when you come to. So, here is the difference. Here is that difference. That transmission is based on the person who is receiving it. The two levels they are. Gopis are one level and wives of the Brahmanas are in another level. So, naturally that difference in the way they were instructed also. That story is a very subtle story. Which one? The wives of the Brahmanas. It's very... All the wives of the Brahmanas had self-realization at the end, knowledge of the soul. And it's a beautiful story. Why? Because Krishna says to the cowherd men who are come with him, everything was deliberately planned well in advance. That particular day, Krishna told his friends that we are going to the forest, deep forest today with the cows, and it will be a while before we come back. So take prasadam plenty. And pack prasadam plenty with you so that we can have a picnic there all together, isn't it? Now, when they left, they had prasadam plenty. But as soon as they came to the forest, they started feeling hungry. And they says to Krishna, we are feeling hungry. Krishna says, we have brought prasadam, let's have it. So they all had prasadam and they again they are feeling hungry. Unusually they are feeling hungry. And then they were complaining to Krishna that we need prasadam, we cannot stay here like this. Krishna says it's too far to go all the way back to Vrindavanam. It's too far for us to go. So therefore, please, we have to get some prasadam here itself. So far away, while sitting there, Krishna could see the smoke coming there from the sacrifices that was going on. So Krishna says to the cowherd boys, they didn't know anything. He says, there's a fire sacrifice going on there. If you go there, the Brahmanas are performing in their sacrifices. You ask them for the food and they'll give it to you, he said. And these boys were very hungry, the friends. They go there and ask the Brahmanas. Brahmanas, they didn't even give any attention to these boys. Shrunandobi na shushrubu, Bhagavatam says. They heard, but they acted as though they haven't heard anything. They completely turned their eyes from the boys. Boys were standing outside and asking them, and they were busy in the yagashala, in the arena where they were performing this yagam. So they were busy with chanting the mantram and performing the homam and offering the oblations to the fire. Everything was going on. When the boys came and asked, they didn't give any attention to it, completely ignored them. Completely ignored them. So when this happened, the boys got very hurt. They are young boys and they are hungry also. So they came back and told Krishna and Balaram that this is what has happened. And they will never give any food, they said to him. Krishna says, no, go and ask them again. And mention, don't ask them, mention my name, Krishna and Balaram's name, and ask their wives, they will give you the food, he said. You don't worry, go and ask again. Again, on Krishna's insistence, they went second time. So when they went this time, they didn't go to the Brahmana, straight away went to the Patnishala. Patnishala means where they were preparing the food. Prasadam was prepared there. They went and asked, and they said to these wives of the Brahmanas that Krishna and Balaram had come immediately. Without any doubt, they immediately straight away felt that they should bring prasadam for Krishna and Balaram. So why this change in their mood? Because the Brahmanas' wives were educated people. They had the knowledge inside them. And they knew what Krishna and Balaram meant, who they were. So they were got this opportunity. So that satram, it is mentioned, Angirasa satram that they were executing here. So they understood that, the wives of the Brahmanas understood Krishna has come to bless us. Because they never in their dreams they expected that Krishna and Balaram will come and send somebody to asking for prasadam. So before this story happened, Kaliyamardhanam has happened, isn't it? Killing the Kaliya has happened. So many things have happened. So you can see in a village or any place, if somebody is present there with self-realization or knowledge of the soul, it will naturally spread everywhere. His presence will be known to others also. Just like Krishna was present in Vrindavanam. But how come the wives of the Brahmanas understood that Krishna is the absolute truth, Krishna is Supreme Personality? How did they know that? That realization has happened even though nobody was spreading, everyone was frightened about saying anything about Krishna because of fear of Kamsa. Even the Brahmanas also, because they were frightened of Kamsa, they were not willing to give any attention to Krishna. Kamsal Bhidana Chachalan, in the Bhagavadam it says. Because of the fear of Kamsa, they were not willing to talk about anything. But Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavanam were known everywhere. It was getting popular everywhere. So everybody, according to their vasana, they have started understanding Krishna. You see? According to their vasana inside. Now, Brahmanas had one kind of vasana. What was that? Proper Krishna consciousness inside. That knowledge of the soul. And they could see from their spiritual knowledge, spiritual realization, they could understand that these two are not two ordinary personalities. They have come from the higher plane. Even if they are not understood, they are God in it. They knew that they are not ordinary people. So, Brahmanas have also heard about them. But they had a problem. What was their problem? They were because of their knowledge inside, they had their ego also along with that. They are very well educated people. So therefore, because of that, they have their ego inside. Therefore, they are not very, the faith was not so strong. But on the women's case, they have heard from their husbands throughout their life and they knew that self-realization is the goal of life. Because among the Brahmanas, they discuss all these topics at home. They discuss all these topics at home. And their wives, obviously in those days, the relationships were such that the wives of the Brahmanas were very well knowledgeable about everything. So, otherwise, to have that experience of the soul, simply by studying the Shastram is not sufficient. It's nothing is sufficient. What is the use of studying Shastram is that you can tell somebody that goal of all this is self-realization. That's all. You cannot do anything more than that. You cannot do anything more than that. Suppose in the weather forecast, it says there, it will rain so much. But if you take the weather forecast and squeeze it, rain won't come, will it? It has to rain only. Only then you will have it. So similarly, the goal of life, you can understand, it is self-realization from the Shastram. And the Brahmanas have studied all these things very well. And they are discussing also each other, and the wives have heard about all that. But the difference is, the wives have completely accepted it inside. They had the full faith in everything what they have heard from them. They don't have any Shastric knowledge as such, but that they were looking for the experience of this realization in their life. This is important. That when you hear the Shastram, if you just take it as a story, or if you just take it as some kind of myth, mythological thing, then the Shastram is no use, isn't it? But if you hear the Shastram, just like this Kathopanishad, any Upanishad for that matter, or Bhagavad Gita, or even Ekadasha Skandam, Bhagavadam, if all that is, if you accept it, that this is what I want in my life, and if you develop that mood inside, then one day by Krishna's grace it will happen inside. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. If you simply start thinking it's all theory, 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 and keep it like theory all time without showing any interest in that, not thinking that one day you can also have that like anybody else in this world, otherwise it's not going to happen. This is the point. That this Krishna consciousness and particularly the self-realization process, what Krishna has spoken in Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam, is a science that has been experienced by people. Those who have realized it, they can vouch for it. Those who have not realized, for them it remains as an unknown subject. And you will think always, oh, this is what, it will happen one day, when will it happen, you can think like that. No, it's not like that. This whole thing, unless you keep going inside and start inquiring about it. That's why it says here that when they were hearing about Krishna, when they were hearing the Shastram from the Brahmanas, the wives, and they were hearing about Krishna also, Sukadeva Goswami says in the Srimad Bhagavatam, immediately the desire developed inside their heart to get to know Krishna, to meet Krishna. This happened to them at that point in time. That point in time. So we'll stop it there today. It's quite possible. We'll continue tomorrow. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.